welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah. 866-901-ADAM. Give us a call. Where's Big Tad? Is he around today?
He went to go get some coffee, or he's working on his gossip report, one of the two.
Ah, I see. All right. Because the hallmark of F-ups is inconsistency, I realize. I tell Big Tad I need a water and a V8 sitting in front of me, and it happens almost exactly 2.5 times out of the 5 days I'm here, and I realize I'm this close to killing myself just because of how who I surround myself with and what they do. And I realize now that I'm going to have kids, I had a ton of advice for the kids before I had kids. When I have these twins, that'll be it. I'm going to put, you know what I'm going to do with them? I'm going to put those helmets on them. You ever see the guys, the couples? Thanks, Breska. Driving those big Gullwing motorcycles down the highway.
With the chopper things?
Husky chick. No, the big cruiser with the big fairings on the front, the big windshield. Some even have a trailer. I would argue if your motorcycle's getting worse mileage than the Acura you got in the driveway, maybe the open road isn't for you. You know, you see the guy's got the fat old lady on the back. They're wearing the matching jackets. They both have the helmets on, matching helmets, but they have the mouthpiece that comes around. Yeah. They can communicate back and forth. There's that little jumper cord between the two helmets, and they're talking back and forth. By the way, this is my definition of torture. I put a bucket on my head where I just hear my wife's voice in it, and we head down to Oregon. Probably somewhere about Santa Barbara, I drive us into an 18-wheeler, just trying to end it.
Far cry from Fonda and Hopper riding choppers across America high on the weed.
That's the whole thing about a motorcycle is you can't hear the person behind you. It's the best part. You know, there's a brrrr every once in a while. Honey, well, hold on, baby. You know, there's nothing. They have
to
tap
you. I gotta pee really bad.
You want to eat?
I gotta pee.
Pulled pork it is. That's the only about more so, but these guys get the old ladies thing. And I'm going to get that helmet, I realize, for my kids. and I'm just going to have a super long extension cord. I'll be able to reach them wherever they are, and I'll just keep shouting advice into them, like quarterbacks have. Sure. With the coach.
You don't think maybe by then you don't think you can get some sort of wireless technology?
I'll get one of those cochlear implants or something. I'll just get something put in. Yeah, whatever we do, we got to move on it before the kid gets to junior high. I don't want any memory of this. But the thing about, I realize, you know, it's not like if you're a smart person or a good employee, you don't get told anything. You just get told one time. And I realize all the people that are horrible employees, and I have thousands of them around me, not in this room, but, you know, all the construction work I've done over the years and all that. You really end up having the same conversation with the same 8 people 800 times in your life. It's like airport security or anything else. There's a couple of people that are effing it up for everybody. Your life would be running along silky smooth if you didn't have to keep having the same conversation with the same couple of people. The Big Tads of the world are tailor-made for that same conversation. And inconsistency, that's the trademark. It'd be better off if they just didn't bring it at all. At least then you would have some contingency plan. But they bring it some days, bring it 3 days in a row, don't bring it the next day. That's really what bad employees are all about. You have to have the same conversation over and over. You know, they get called in the office. Bert, we've talked about this before. That's when I play the Timmys at home. That's when I play got the retarded kid. All right.
By the way, yes. Kudos to you. A bold move on your part. Exact same outfit that you wore in here yesterday.
Thank you.
Oh,
same T-shirt. Same shirt on top of that T-shirt.
Thought about it.
Stay over at your girlfriend's house last night?
Yeah, one of my ladies. She lives close to the studio. My wife understands. It's a long drive. You know, that's another thing. You know, here's another thing. First off, I come from, from folks who did not put cleanliness next to godliness. You know, my family's casual at best. We didn't have a dryer the whole time I grew up. We'd have to hang the stuff out on the clothesline. We'd have to hang the stuff over the floor heater. I had like the register and the floor. They actually have these things that fold out and stand over the floor
heater. Did you grow up in the 1920s in Brooklyn?
Yeah. My family, okay. I don't even know what direction to go. My family is poor, but they're not dirt poor. They're just poor. But on top of that, they're super cheap and have self-esteem problems. So nobody in my family had a dryer. That was considered an extravagant excess. Now, the washing machine, they decided they needed, but they just didn't need the dryer. And the work it takes to be poor, it far exceeds the price of the dryer or whatever it is. It's sort of this mentality. I'll stop at the gas station, and each time I'll put $5 in the tank. No more. We're not the Rockefellers. We'll just put $5 in the tank. Well, that means you stop at the gas station five times for every one time I stop at the gas station, and your likelihood of getting hit by another guy when he's backing up or hailing the horrible fumes or whatever goes up fivefold. This is how my family would approach life. They would save $3 on a Christmas tree by driving down to downtown L.A. to the freight depot where the trains unloaded them. And then we drive back with them, arm out the window, holding it to the top of the VW square back all the way back. You'd waste a whole day to save $3. This is what they would do. Every time we do a load of laundry, you had to take everything out of the laundry and instead out of the washing machine. Instead of throwing it into the dryer, you had to go spread it around. Spread it out over the heater, if it was at night, you'd have to hang it over the heater. If the weather was bad, you'd have to hang it over the heater. The sock would fall off and burn on the heater. You needed like a day and a half lead time. Like I had one pair of tube socks for football. Football uniform had the one sanitary, the one pair of tube socks. You'd have to make sure and wash those a day before if there'd be a panic otherwise. Where's the tube socks? The game's in 4 hours. We don't have, it's still wet. You just have to wear the wet tube socks all the time. It's really retarded. It's like just waking up and punching yourself in the face every morning. That's all it is.
Conversely, and I'm not exaggerating this, conversely, when it was time for Little League to be played, the day of the Little League game, my uniform would be waiting for me at the foot of my bed, pressed down to the underpants. I'm not jiving either. The underpants and socks would be ironed clean.
Oh, so sad.
Did you, are you going to...
Such a contrast.
Did you hate the kids that had money when you were growing up that had, like, dryers?
Oh, I remember there was a couple of teams. I always played Pop Warner football. And there was a couple of guys on the team that were sort of role model guys, the Gallaghers. Coach Gallagher's name was Duke Gallagher, red-haired guy with a mustache, had a hot kind of trophy wife who was always wearing like ski pants and stuff. Kelly Gallagher was the younger daughter, captain of the gymnastics team at her school. Beautiful angelic blonde, and then there was Dan Gallagher, who's now an attorney, who played running back. Everyone was blonde and beautiful and good-looking, drove the big station wagon, everyone had the jackets and everything. Yeah, I played 7 years of Pop Warner football. All I wanted was a goddamn windbreaker that said East Valley Trojans on it. Whoa. But here's the thing. Oh, my, so many memories come flooding back. I spent the night, I slept over, I hung out with Danny, and I slept over at his house. Now, as I look back on it, they lived in a nice house, but nothing near a mansion, just up in the hills of Laurel Canyon, 2,800 square feet, probably, middle to upper class kind of house. I looked at it as a palace, but I remember happening upon the fireplace in the living room, and there was a picture on the mantle. It was the entire Gallagher family, complete with the dog, the big Irish setter, all in the snow. Was a ski vacation, everyone wearing parkas and skis and stuff, and all had their arms around each other, and I had somebody take the picture on top of Mount Pinos, with the valley and the snow, and I just stared at it. What the hell is this? What goes on? First off, what's the white stuff? Never mind those sticks in their hands. Because the whole thing, like, skiing is one of those things you just could never do. If you're, everyone's lazy and depressed, and we have to rent equipment. You need a car that'll make it up to the mountain. You need to rent a place for a couple days.
You'd run out of gas halfway there.
Never happened. But I remember just looking. Well, look at them. They all get in the same car, and they drive to a mountain, and then they spend days together out on the slopes. What must this be like? Yeah. So sad. So bad. You want to hear the sad thing. You ever look back, you think back those little snippets in your life, and you think, wow, that was pathetic, or wow, what was I thinking, or wow, this is how it went, or geez, that's right, that gym coach was a pedophile, or of course, Of course Mrs. Sontag was a lesbian. Of course. The short cropped hair.
So
you always
funny.
Talking about her cats, you know. You're in the seventh grade. You can't put anything together. It's like, yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah, Josh was gay. Of course he was gay. That's right. Yeah. You know, you go back and you put together that puzzle of your life. I was playing for the East Valley Trojans, as we were talking about. I think I was in my second or third year. I was like 10 years old. And, they do this thing at the end of each year where you just vote to see who gets best defensive lineman and best offensive lineman and all that kind of stuff. Most valuable player, you write it down on a little piece of paper. And, I played offensive line. I played defensive line. And I just voted for another kid. I was good, but I just voted for Steen and Fitzgerald for offensive and defensive line because I didn't think it'd be right to vote for yourself.
Yeah, but did you want to vote for yourself?
I did, and I wanted the trophy. I just thought somehow I would get caught seeing that I voted for myself. I was 9 or 10 years old. I'm sure Steen and Fitzgerald voted for themselves, but I just voted for them because I had sort of low self-esteem, and I figured, that's what you do. And what ended up happening is I lost each one by one vote. Now, what ended up happening is I was at my grandparents' house for Christmas Eve, sitting around there. We'd just got done decorating the rubber tree plant my grandmother has because she wouldn't break down and get a Christmas tree. It's another story. And there was a knock on the door, and who was it? Mr. Fitzgerald, the hulking line coach, Mr. Fitzgerald, with his young son, Jance, and he's wearing the East Valley Trojan windbreaker, and he says, can I come in? And it's a month after the season ends. Oh, what are you doing here, Mr. Fitzgerald? We have a gift for you, Adam. And it was a box. It was the kind of box that a nice shirt comes in. And I thought, holy Christ, it's a windbreaker. This is my $9 East Valley Trojan windbreaker. This is great. What a Christmas. This
years.
Is.
Yeah.
And I opened it up, and it was a trophy that said, Adam Carolla, best all-around offensive and defensive player. And I thought, well, this is okay, but no windbreaker? I was upset that I didn't get the windbreaker, and the trophy that had best offensive and defensive player on it was sort of like, all right, I'll set this over here. It'd be nice if I could have got the windbreaker. And sometimes I look back on those moments, I go, oh my God, how pathetic. I should have cherished that thing. Yeah.
He probably figured out that you had written it down and thought, this is a decent kid. He deserves something for his nobility.
He probably did the math. He missed it by one in each thing, and each time he probably wrote, that looks like his horse. He misspelled both names horribly.
This stinks of Carolla.
Yes, yes. Here's somebody that has a buddy helmet with his wife, Brian.
Yeah, how's it going, Adam?
Good.
I love the show.
Thanks. You have one of those helmets where you can, that have the intercom in them?
No, I don't have one. My next door neighbors, him and his wife have those same bikes with the helmets and everything.
Yeah.
And get this, Adam, they commute to work every day together and they work together.
Ugh. Here's what I really believe about those couples. It's the same guys who announce that their wife is their best friend. I don't think they're actual couples. I think they're just there to screw me and my relationship up with my wife. I don't think they actually exist. I think they're just decoys. They're like those inflatable tanks we used in Normandy to make the Krauts think we had a bigger army. I don't think they really exist. You know, they see them driving together. They're going on vacation together. They're calling each other best friends. They have all the same activities, and they can't get enough of each other. Working together, commuting together, and living together. Not enough time with each other.
Exactly.
Oh.
Can't wait to go to work just to get away from my wife.
And these guys with the bikes now, the bikes have six cylinders. They have the full fairing in the front. I mean, you feel no wind. They have stereos. They have heaters. They have more, you know, the engines are putting out more CCs than most just Honda automobiles. And they have trailers and big side carts and all kinds of, you know, carriers and everything. Those things have to be getting, they got like 17, 18 miles a gallon on one of those things. And if you talk to the guys, it's like, why do you got the motor? It's the freedom of the open road. Really? You can't turn that thing around. And if it falls over, you got to call a tow truck. You can't get it back onto its wheels. All right, Brian.
You guys have a good morning.
Throw a rock at that neighbor, would you please?
I will.
Yeah, I don't like that. I believe all couples that do things, and then there's the ones that get sort of the matching jackets and go to NASCAR, are the ones, you know, the ones that do that thing where they do the his and hers version of it and head out. How does that work?
I'll tell you, the worst than that to me I can't stand. You ever see a couple out jogging?
Yeah.
What are the odds that unless you two run at the exact same speed when you jog, which is a virtual impossibility, a man and a woman are running at the exact same speed. What? You can't leave each other alone for a half an hour and go out for a little run?
Yes,
I hate these couples
workout,
that go out to work
the workout
together.
Couple.
Yeah, the people in the gymnasium, too, with the iron, like he stands over her. Then he impresses her by doing 30 pounds more.
Yes. Oh, you're just jealous, so Dave. You're just jealous.
Yeah. Cindy put up more than he did in the squat last week, so he's PO.
So, I can curl more than her.
Yeah, I don't know why it made me think of it. Somehow, I hate this guy more, the guy who misses the red light jogging, and he's still jogging in place. That guy. I'm so into exercise, I can never stop, and I'm just sitting there in my car, drinking a hot chocolate, looking at the guy, and he's jogging in place.
Throw a rock at that guy, too.
Isn't that awkward, though? Have you ever gone jogging, like, on city streets, and then you jog, and you get to the red light? What do you do? Like, you just
I
feel
break
stupid.
Down. I grab my side and I stop. Well, the other thing, too, is fully half the people that exercise in Los Angeles are just doing it so other people can see them exercise.
Yes.
See people heading down a crowded Ventura Boulevard, and I'm talking about 5:36 in the evening. The carbon monoxide levels alone have to, you know, tip the meter. There could be no worse place to jog. I mean, I guess you could jog in an underground parking facility or something, but they're jogging, you know, behind a city bus, and they're wearing the tight this, and they got their shirt off. There's always the kooky guy. There's always the kooky black guy with the ankle weights who's, like, chugging backward up a hill. There's all the different kinds of exercise guys. The white guy's doing the Tai Chi in the park. There's that blowhard. There's always the kooky black guy, bald, no waist, seems old, but has a crazy physique anyway, and has his own weird workout routine, ankle weights, wrist weights, cycling shorts, nothing else, and he runs backwards up the hill. And you think to yourself, like, on one hand, who is this jackass? On the other hand is, well, it's hard to argue with the results. He looks pretty damn good. And then there's like, come on, buddy, put a shirt on. And then there's a party that has to admit, well, if I look like that, my shirt off, I probably would have attended your wedding with my shirt off.
Well, here's another guy I can't stand is in the gym. The guy who has the personal trainer, mm-hmm. who constantly tells the personal trainer loudly so that everyone can hear how much he hates his personal trainer. Like,
yeah.
All right, five more. Like, I hate you.
If I could lift my arm, I'd punch you, right?
Shut up.
Dave, how do you know all these people in the gym? I mean,
this body doesn't happen by accident, baby, though.
I always looked at the guy who runs in place at the stoplight as sort of the jogging equivalent to the porn guy who's in the gangbang, who's not actually engaged with the woman at this particular time, but is standing around keeping the chub going. You know, that guy. It's not quite masturbating because he's not looking to finish, but he has to keep a little blood circulating. That's always a nice look. The casual chub up. You know, like, hey,
leaning,
don't get
one hand on a wall.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, fellas. This is. Look, hey, if I was masturbating, you would know it. This is not it. But I'm running at the stoplight here because I'm going to get moving in a minute. It's going to go green, and I'm going to need to hook up with this chick, and I don't want to pull something.
Idling.
Yeah, it's essentially idle. It's the masturbatory equivalent to idling. And I like when the guys have to be sort of casual about it a little bit. And I like when they even have to talk. Okay, you coming up, little business. You going up? Or am I? Okay, you come around. They're still doing it the whole time. That's my favorite part of porn. That's what the gang. That's why I have to rent the gangbang stuff, just to get the three dudes who clearly got the phone call that day. Or may have been doing other jobs on the set and told that, yeah, hey, take the tool belt off, Brad. Get in here. Steve called in. He's not going to make it. He's got the hep C. Let's go. Yeah, do that chub up thing.
No, you're not going to have to finish or anything. Don't worry.
Just kind of keep fluff yourself, would you? We got some action coming. All right. We got a lot of show today. Some would argue too much. Dave, I brought my checkbook in.
Ooh la la.
Dave Damashek and I didn't bring him a wedding gift to his wedding on Sunday. I decided, I'll cut him a check. We looked for stuff where he was registered, didn't seem to find anything good. Then my wife piped up last. So I said to my wife said, again, she's against me. My wife mm-hmm. is, you know, when she found out that my IQ was 91, she started laughing and yelled, good, how does it feel? Stuff like that, you know.
So proud to be married to a relationship.
What did you do to her?
What didn't I do to her? I did that idling masturbation thing for 10 minutes last night. Didn't like that because there was no other guy around. But she said, so she goes, I heard about what you're going to do with Dave, which is I am going to take five checks, one for $5,000, one for $5, and the other three in between. Dave is going to throw fate to the wind, grab one. He may walk away with a wedding gift of $5,000 cash, or he may walk away with $5 or something in between. I thought it'd be good radio. I can absorb it if all goes wrong.
Fun.
So my wife says to me last night, we're watching the Idol, she says, I still want to get Cindy something. I said, you don't have to get her anything. We're doing the gift, you know, we're doing the drawing. Well, what if he gets the $5? Well, what if he gets the $5,000? Then you're going to go get something from Cindy? I'm giving her something. You're not giving her anything. Well, what if she get... She could get the $5, but that's because she could have gotten the $5,000. I'm getting her. She's getting something. There's no way she's walking away with $5. She's not getting $5. She could get $5,000.
$5,000 plus a nice, a handsome little gift for Cindy on the side.
I know. Well, that's, I'm getting her. And by the way, you're getting her something or I'm getting her something else. Listen, I say, if you pull that $5,000, I will run home and tackle my wife because there's no way she's getting something else after that.
This is the argument I think Wayne Gretzky has with his wife.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean you lost $500,000 of my money?
Yeah. What happened? Is she? I got to hear more about that, by the way, Shaq. You got to call her back again.
I intend to call her later today before the Olympics are done. Yeah, I want to get in touch with her, yeah.
All right, let's take ourselves a break. We will come back. We have Representative Richard Martin phoning in early this morning. I guess he's got some thoughts on this. What does he have thoughts on? Oh, the port security thing, probably, yeah?
Cheney.
Oh, yeah. All right, we'll talk to him after this.
Hi, this is Dave Coulier. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM. And tell him Dave's package sent you.
Yeah. Coulier's package is coming on the show later. We discovered his package after watching Skating with Celebrities. And
breakout star of that show.
Yeah. I thought Coulier was an interesting enough guy, pretty funny and everything. I give him about a 6.5, but the package, I give a 9.
Standout.
Yeah, you know what I mean when I say 9? So he's coming on, Coulier's package. He sounds a little like the late, great Richard Pryor. Speaking of Richard Martin, he's a congressman from the great state of Ohio. He's a Republican. Richard?
Hello, Adam. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. I'm actually calling you from beautiful Las Vegas.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to be there on the 9th. What are you doing in Vegas?
I'm building a casino. It's going to be the first all-Christian casino. It's very exciting. We haven't picked a name out for it yet. We're rolling a couple names around right now. We're thinking about Sweet Jesus as one possibility.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And Holy Craps is another one. But we're afraid that some people might be a little offended. But then again, we need to get some folks in the seats.
Well, why not? You know, if you really think about it, you have the ones shaped like pyramids, and you have the ones that going back to King Arthur's court. What's wrong? I would argue most folks, ironically, that spend time in Vegas are religious folks.
Exactly. And a portion of people's proceeds will go right back into the casino, and then that will eventually trickle its way down to the church.
I understand. Very generous of you. We asked you to call in because this whole big thing about the security and the port security and all the thing that the president's going through, plus some of this Cheney stuff, allegations that Cheney was drunk. Let's start with the port security first. Do you defend the president?
What do you want to know? It's, you know, it's ridiculous that it's even being talked about. You know, I talked to Michael Chertoff, and I said, Chert dog, what's the deal here? And he said, I don't see a problem. And if Chertoff doesn't see a problem, what could go wrong?
So you don't see anything with the Arab Emirates.
But this is the same guy, though. But Chertoff's the same guy who helped screw up the whole business down in the bayou.
You're talking about the Churchster, and I'm going to ask that you give him the respect that is due. You know, if we're going to start, blaming Michael Chertoff for Katrina, you know, why don't we blame Arabs for 9/11? You know, why don't we blame Hitler for the Holocaust?
Right.
You know.
Right.
You know. The Republicans, I can tell you, that say that they're against it, they're really not. You know, in their private conversations that I've listened in on, they don't think that it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then what about this whole Cheney thing? There's allegations now that he was drunk when he shot his hunting partner.
Well, define drunk. You know, the shotgun went off. He went over and realized that what he had shot was not an animal, but was a man. And halfway through cleaning the buckshot out of his face, as he prepared to eat him, he said, "My God, it's hairy." So you draw what conclusions you want from that, but I think he's a good guy and he's a Christian.
Well, but you can't just define that as your sole criteria for judging people being a Christian. I mean, once in a while, even a good Christian slips up a little. You shoot your hunting partner, you shoot your hunting partner. It doesn't matter if you're Christian or not.
But if a Christian shoots a Christian, where's the crime?
I see. So it's Christ on Christ crime.
Exactly.
Listen, I don't like to be a jerk, but this guy, why do we give him a pulpit to make his apologies for everything? He's just a fundamentalist kook.
I'm sorry, Mr. Martin, let me explain why we put you on the show. I feel like we're here in Los Angeles. There's a liberal media, and this offers a sort of balance, a counterpoint to a lot of the stuff you hear on television.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I do believe your heart's in the right place. I think sometimes, maybe you do a little Bible thumping, and sometimes you say things that are even borderline prejudice, but I think your heart's in the right place.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate that. And I think you're a neat fella and a straight shooter.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard. So when can we expect this Christian casino to open up? Are you breaking ground?
Well, we've got funding. We're looking at a couple of sites right now. There's an orphan home that we're trying to get condemned right now so that we can build the casino there. We don't know if that's going to go through. But,
yeah, that's what I'm talking. That seems wrong to me.
Well, we don't know if there's actually orphans in it. You know, it's not like they're going to bulldoze it with the orphans inside. They'll clear them out to the lawn.
Exactly.
You know, I just came up with this, but maybe, they have at every casino, they have the whole slot machine alley, that area. You just put a big sign that says Holy Rollers over it. Or maybe that's with the dice.
Who's
Holy Rollers.
Pencil?
Yeah.
Who's got a pencil?
Yeah, write that down. Write that down. Yeah, maybe at the craps table. Holy Roller.
That's so people know
what that is. I mean, we could pound out some of the beats on it. I'm an atheist. I don't know if you know that. But
I sensed it.
Okay.
I sensed the lack of God in your life.
Well, I'm open to suggestions, but I'm an atheist, but I still feel like I could help you beat out a couple interesting points on this casino.
Okay, well, maybe I could come by when you're doing the show in Vegas, if that's okay with you.
That would be great.
I'd like to meet some of your listeners.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd love to meet you and press the flesh.
I mean, then we have to expose those people to listen to his fundamentalist conservative nonsense.
Hey, we have a lot of listeners that probably share the same views.
Is that Mr. Damashek?
Yes.
That's right.
Being a loudmouth has got to be a full-time job.
He's a Jew, by the way.
I sense that.
Okay. Richard, thank you very much for calling in. The great congressman from Ohio.
Republican,
that's right. We have a song, by the way. Did Rich send this in from Arizona? Yeah. We have a stirring tribute to him.
He doesn't like gays. He loves God. He's a Christian on a mission. Conservative. He's pro-life. He's pro-war.
He doesn't trust blacks, says they're lazy and poor. He's Richard Martin, the Republican. He thinks a suit and tie should be every guy's uniform. And he loves freedom as long as we all conform.
I don't think you should serve in the military. I think homosexuality takes the dignity out of killing.
He's ultra-white, his ass is tight, and he hates the liberal media. He's Richard Martin, the Republican.
One of the songs, by the way, sung on American Idol the other night. We got a whole roundup and a wrap-up that four people tossed off last night. I was watching. Our own Rachel Perry was watching as well. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll shuffle through that deck after this.
This is Republican Representative Richard Martin, and God darn it, you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Ask Jesus for forgiveness.
Phone number 866-901-ADAM. Oswaldo. Ozzy. Out in the hallway. He has himself a movie. I think he's going to review Good Night and Good Luck. Also, I'm going to see if he's returned my chipping hammer. Dave Coulier's package is calling in. Also, we've got some American Idol talk. We're going to do that in just a second. What else? Oh, yes. Damashek is going to do the big drawing for his wedding. $5,000 down to $5. Five checks. I got to figure out the in-betweeners in there. Obviously, $5,000's a lot to part with, but five, if you can part with $5 for a wedding, you're doing pretty good. And as we talked about it before, wedding gifts are not quite an engagement ring, but they're right up there. There's certain things that people really just grade on a curve. It's they pretty much figure out how much you make, and then they weigh their expectation against that. It's not really that way with a tip. It seems like it would be, but if you had a parking valet bring you your car and you gave him $10, he'd be happy with it, even if you were Donald Trump. I mean, maybe if you're a guy who was known for, you know, being a multi-billionaire, it might sting a little, but a celebrity could give a guy $10 or $20 and he'd probably be happy with it. Not so with the engagement rings.
It's the equivalent of having a superstar baseball player and he only hits, you know, 8 home runs over the course of the season. You say that's a great that he should have hit much more, but the utility infielder, he hits 8, you know.
Yeah.
Great success.
Not everything's a sports analogy, Dave.
Point is, you're the superstar slugger.
Thank you. Okay, now it is, yes.
Who should be, you know, hitting 50 home runs a season. In other words, you should be giving the most money.
Yeah, if I get somebody a cheap gift for their wedding, it's no good because they know I have a good income. And it's the same. You know what the biggest cop-out is? My old manager, me and Jimmy's old manager, used to do this thing where every year for, I don't know, Christmas, birthdays, whatever the holiday is he would always make a donation, generous donation in our name to you know, sickle cell charity or whatever charity, Alzheimer's or whatever it was. And the guy was cheap. And we always thought, I know it's like for $25.
Undefined, so you didn't see the dollar.
Undefined, you don't know what it is. So as opposed to buying us a birthday gift for $25, like here's a used Walkman or something like that, we'd be like, $25. We made you $100,000 last year. You need to buy something decent for us. But the charity, you can never argue with. You can't call them up and do any legwork. You can't argue with it. And you're the biggest a-hole in the world if you're like, hey, what the F?
That would be a great call.
I don't have leukemia.
Sickle cell people.
Do I look like I have pediatric AIDS? Well, just tell me. Yeah, so there's nothing you could do, and it's always generous, but generous really runs the gamut from $2 and on up. So we always had the sneaking suspicion it was something a little bit light. All right, the other thing, too, is when people do this, they make their charity your charity, that sort of thing, where somebody in their family has fill in the blank. It's tragic. But I have my own charities. I have my own groups. I made a thing in your name. I bought you a plate at this thing for $5,000. I'm always like, I didn't want to go. I'm not interested in that charity. I have other charities I'm interested in. Yeah, come on down. I bought it in your name. That sort of thing. All right, where are we? We're going to talk a little American Idol.
You watched the show last night?
I basically fast-forwarded, I have to admit, to the point where they were booting people off because, A, it's long, and, B, it's uncomfortable. I got all the beats.
I mean, why does it take an hour to get rid of four people? They're messing with us.
I think they realize that this has become heroin for dullards, this show. That the vast majority of this country is stupid, hence the NASCAR craze, hence 70 million liters of Sunny Delight being sold every year, hence, you know, whatever fast food selling out more than good food. Obviously, the vast majority of this country has horrible taste and is not too bright, and they realize that they have them hooked and that they could do this show for 3 hours and we'd all just be sitting like lemmings on the edge of our sofa. So why not take what you could do in 8 minutes and stretch it out to an hour and get those kind of numbers that they get, which is insanity.
But, you know, I don't know. I don't even think that it really matters to watch the show where they get people voted off. The only one I really want to watch is, you know, because you can find out who got voted off by listening to morning radio.
I disagree completely. The voting off is all the moment of telling people their dreams are broken.
It is nice to see people crushed.
Yeah, and then and like Dave was just saying, because you don't really watch the show, but you just said.
Well, no, I love when they kick the people off. They say, "Wow, your dreams are broken." Now sing the song that got you kicked off. One last time. Here's another sports analogy for you. Hey, guy who doesn't hit on our baseball team. You're cut from the team. Now take the plate one last. Strike out one last time and make us all happy.
It is. And they don't know they're going to be singing the song until about 8 seconds before someone shoves the mic in their hand and tells them to go at it. But, yes, it is sad and ironic that, especially when Seacrest does the thing where he's like, Paula thought you had good posture. Randy thought it was a horrible song selection. And Simon thought it was the worst song selection he'd ever heard in 20 years. All right, now do the song. Now do Copacabana. You know the three people are miserable now. Half the time they say, hey, we thought you picked a horrible song. Sing it again. I would, if I was an American Idol, I would have a song in my hip pocket. I would work it out with the band in advance. I have it all worked out. It would be called Blow Me Simon. And the second I got tossed off, I would immediately go right into it. Or you don't have to change the band. I would work the lyrics of Blow Me Simon into Copacabana or whatever my song. At the Blow Me Simon, the hottest place. You know what I mean?
That's a great idea.
Why would you possibly sing the song that just got you kicked off? Hey, Seacrest, well, how about you and your vagina do a duet of that song? I'm out of here. Oh. Throw the mic in his face and walk off with some dignity.
Me converting the lyrics from Pat Benatar's Hell Is for Children into Screw American Idol. Really, everybody, if anyone is listening from this program or anyone knows anyone from this program, this would be the greatest piece of television since Janet's boob popped out. It really would. Anyway, have your song ready. You know the last song you sung. The band will have to crank up and do it. They have no choice. They're going to follow right along when they're cued. And then there's nothing anyone could do about it. Start off with the first, you know, the first bar, the first verse. Do it the same and then start sliding in and how much you hate Simon and start working prescription drugs into the Paula thing and then start talking about the producers of American Idol and what a ripoff and how this is rape. And they'll just keep rolling. It's live. There's nothing they could do. And everyone would be buzzing about it the following morning.
That would be awesome.
And you'd be getting deals.
What a way to go out.
Oh, people be hailing. You might get back in.
Yeah.
All right, now we have to take a break. We had a whole bunch of American Idol talk to do, but I started yapping. I'm truly in love with this idea. Someone has to do it. It wouldn't be the big harm. You're kicked off. They're doing the song anyway.
What would they do?
They couldn't stop you. It's not like Seacrest going to tackle you.
We should try and get a note into the people at American Idol, like some of the contestants in the house.
Of course. This show's been on for 5 years and no one's thought to do this? They do this every time? This would be great. This is ridiculous.
Yes, the poor saps have to sing the same crappy song with tears rolling down this time. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 866-901-ADAM. Carl's on the phone. Carl?
Yeah.
You have an opinion?
Yeah, I was wondering, I know women's figure skating is probably not on, high on your list of sports that you really dig, but have you noticed how the women's skaters' outfits, their flesh-colored tights now kind of go over the tops of their skates, so it's like they're, it's like they have a giant deformed, like, tumor thing at the bottom of their
yes.
little legs now?
Yes, yes, I have.
It's really starting to creep me out.
I don't like it when anything is flesh-colored, that other than flesh.
Band-Aids?
Don't like it. I like the ones with the little, you know, smiley faces on them. Well, I'll tell you the creepiest thing is any kind of electronic device. The first generation of cell phones used to be that weird sort of pinkish, beigey kind of color. They weren't, if you're going to make something, just make it that anthracite color, that charcoal black. That's the universal color for all electronic equipment, stereos, cell phones, stuff like that. The one that was weird is the first one was big, and it was like sort of pink and beige, and it looked like someone had a growth. And I guess the thinking was, well, make it the same color as their face. No one will notice. Well, you're holding up this something the size of a boot to your ear. You shouldn't mistake it for part of the guy's face. You look like Elephant Man. Yes, I'll give you an example. I'll give you the greatest example of this ever. The eye patch.
Yeah.
There's two eye patches. There's one that's black and silk, in which case you look like a debonair gambler. You're the Barclay man. You're wearing, smoking a cigarette, and you're wearing a white tux jacket, and you're on the French Riviera.
Continental millionaire who may be up to no good.
Playboy man about town. That's right. What? Shaken and not stirred. Or conversely, they have the beige-colored eye patch, the adhesive one that always has that weird little piece of gauze hanging out from under it. That, what happened there? Junkie stabbed you with a pencil. And that's really, it's what happened to you. You know, I got pink eye because my boyfriend's not a gentleman, and then it mixed, he has hepatitis C, and we're both sleeping outside.
Yeah.
That's what that patch is. Beige patch. There could be no greater chasm in patches than the beige patch and the black patch. Oh, how'd you lose your eye? Sword fight. Someone insulted my woman's honor. But
yes.
Don't worry, I killed him.
But you should see him.
Yeah, yes. He's dead.
He'll tell no tale.
He's a dead man. He can't.
Yeah, as right. It is, I agree. The fleshy skate thing is it's akin to, it's the ice equivalent of Patrick Duffy when he was the man from
Atlantis.
Atlantis with the web. With the web.
Yes,
now these
the
people are the ice version with the skates coming out of their feet.
Yeah, like, I agree. No place for it.
It's grotesque.
No place on the ice for it. Mike?
Yeah.
You got a question about NASCAR?
Yeah, I was calling to see Adam. How come you hate NASCAR so much?
Well, I only hate it so much, and this goes along with many of the things. This is like, I don't have anything against Nicole Richie or Eva Longoria. Stop ramming them up my tukai. You know what I mean? I have no problem with Nicole Richie. She's a perfectly friendly girl. She's 6.5 in the looks department and possesses no discernible talent that I'm aware of, but a nice enough person. I've met her a number of times.
She can shop like crazy.
All I'm saying is I don't need to see full spreads on Nicole Richie, a girl I probably wouldn't have banged in high school. I don't need to see full spreads on her on Venice Beach, or now she's got the weight back. I don't need to find out what Eva Longoria is up to every 10 seconds on Entertainment Tonight. I only lash out against these things because they're okay. There's nothing wrong with them. But please, enough. Enough already. Here's the thing about NASCAR. Nothing wrong with NASCAR. They go in a circle. It's not exactly the kind of racing that I enjoy because it's not on a, you know, not on a track, then on turn left and then right again. And they're not, you know, they basically go in a circle and it's exciting, but the technology is boring. It's old technology. It's, you know, straight. The cars don't have independent rear suspension. They use iron blocks and it's pushrod engines, pushrod carbureted V8s. Essentially, technology from the 50s and 60s hasn't changed all that much. Yeah, there's some aerodynamics. They trade some paint. But Formula One is more interesting.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. What about IRL or Formula One?
Well, Formula One, you have these cars which are the cutting edge of technology. These are multi-million dollar cars. The other one is just sort of American iron. I almost said idle again. It's okay. I'm just saying we have no Formula One in this country and NASCAR every second of every day. How about a little balance? That's why I'm railing against NASCAR. I like watching the Speed Channel. But the Speed Channel, every Tuesday and Thursday, it's all NASCAR. NASCAR trucks, NASCARs, NASCAR pit pass, NASCAR this, NASCAR roundtable, bunch of yokels sitting around talking about guys named Dick Trickle and Rusty and what they might be doing. Listen, it's fun. It's an actual name. Here's the point. Just give us an hour worth of NASCAR a week. That's enough.
Listen, what happened? I'm innocently watching my Sports Center, minding my own business. All of a sudden now, NASCAR is on
right.
all the time
right.
with it. They always are yapping about this and that with the NASCAR. When did this happen? When did I start opening my Sports Illustrated and having to go through 15 pages worth of
yes.
who's going to win the Daytona 500? Who cares about
right.
this? It's a nice little fringe sport.
Right.
Actually, I can
That's
tell you
right.
what happened. It's when Fox took over because
yes.
NASCAR has been around forever, and it was a sideline sport and gearheads. And
yeah. Here's the ultimate thing with me and NASCAR. The cars themselves suck. Okay? I don't want to go to the Chevy dealer and get an Impala. Who the hell wants to drive around one of these crappy American four-doors with the pushrod V8 engine in it? BMWs, the stuff that's from, and I'm not even talking about price. I'm just talking about there's much more interesting cars out there. None of us drive any of these cars. Who the hell out there is driving a Ford Taurus around? Who the hell is driving an Impala, a Chevy Impala around? Nobody drives these cars around. Why the hell do I want to see them race?
It really
Thank
does
you.
Look. It really does look like a race of 32 Bonnevilles. And by the way, why is it that I know that there are 32 cars in these races?
Because they beat you over the head with it.
I don't know, sports guy Dave.
Yes, and big Tad over here, who's more malleable than an amoeba. This big Tad, he'll morph into any shape because when I met him, he was all about
as it's circular.
He was all about Chicago basketball. He was all about the Bulls when I met him. You can guess what year I met Big Tad in. But it was all about the Bulls. And now he's all about NASCAR. I never heard a goddamn word about NASCAR from Big Tad for the first 10 years I've met him. Now he's all about NASCAR. Well, how does that work? And that's the way this stuff works. Somebody picks it up. Somebody starts running with it. People are stupid and they glom on. And then the rest of us who are smart have to have our ass kicked by it.
You know how you identify them people?
They're fat and they wear stupid leather jackets.
And they're all Gordon fans.
That's right.
The one attempt that the man made to brainwash us, ironically, was to watch, the man wanted us to watch women's basketball.
Yes.
WNBA. That has not taken, thankfully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Look, again, it's like I said, I got nothing against NASCAR. It's racing. They're trading paint. They're going at it. They're crashing. God love them. Sprinkle in just a little Formula One, the biggest international sport there is, the Formula One. Sprinkle a little of that in. Let me see that every once in a while. Let me see some road racing. Let me see some motorcycle racing. Let me see another form of racing other than NASCAR. I love cars. Let's see it. No, they're not going to do it. Therefore,
I could get into this speed skating if that became a big sport. That'd be kind of fun, right?
I would watch anything other than NASCAR at this point. All right. Many questions. Someone wants to know what happened to Big Tad's NASCAR tickets. Valerio?
Yeah.
You want Big Tad's NASCAR tickets?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't win them because he didn't lose the weight. Turns out he ate his pit passes yesterday. I smeared some peanut butter on him and he ate them. That's how you get Big Tad to eat stuff.
Well, Pitt has two of the three letters of pie, and that got confusing for him, so he just ate them.
Yeah. I don't know. We got to ask Bruska.
No, sorry. Those were for Tad.
We just got beeped out because the guy said, stick my fingers in his throat. Which I think throat is not a euphemism for penis or anything. It's just throat.
No.
All right, sorry, Valerio. Bruska, who, by the way, is the reason NASCAR is so big because he was over at Fox during those crucial years, will not part with these tickets. All right, let's talk about the news.
There's unrest in the Middle East.
Ah, what? Hold on. What? What'd you say? I thought you said unrest in the Middle East.
There's unrest in the Middle East.
Wow. It'll be over by Sunday. Well, that's my prediction.
Watch out, because if you're going to be in the Middle East this weekend, no fun for you, because there's a curfew to try to quell the violence.
Mm, all right.
Not a good time. Not a good time. You might as well just cancel your trip, Adam.
Get the folks from Hoffman Travel on the blower, Bruska. I can talk to one of the agents over there. I'm going to make a plan B. Maybe I'll go to Beirut.
There's also unrest in the Philippines, so don't go there.
What's going on? They all got angry, took to the streets, and turned over a ferry?
No, they tried to turn over the government.
Wow. Nice.
The president declared a state of emergency because she thought that people were trying to overthrow the government, basically. But there was some sort of a 20-year celebration thing. And
let me ask you all this seriously. What year do you think the rest of the world is in, other than us, Europe, and Japan? Is there another? What year? I'm trying to figure
11.
Out what year. What year is the Middle East in? What year is the Philippines in? What year are these people in? What's going on? It's like the stuff I was reading about in the ninth grade in history books when, you know, Kublai Khan was doing his thing. And, you know, it was like, what's going on? Don't they know? There's TiVo. Relax. Stay home, everybody. Have your NASCAR and your American Idol.
Yeah, stop sending over your old T-shirts to
they're like
poorer nations. Send your TiVos.
That's
they're
right.
Like four different kinds of cola to choose from.
And send,
right.
And send like some DVDs of Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Guess.
They'll enjoy that.
Get strung out on internet porn and call it a life.
Doritos up to like two dozen flavors now.
That's right. All right.
Unrest in America.
Yeah.
No? Dubai Ports World has postponed its management takeover of six U.S. ports to address security concerns. And Deputy Defense Secretary Gordon England says this could ostracize one of the U.S.'s only Arab allies. This is what President Bush had to say yesterday.
This deal wouldn't go forward if we were concerned about the security for the United States of America.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
The United States of America. All right.
That says it. I find this fascinating. A mixed race couple,
mm-hmm.
both of them were mixed race, both of their moms were white and both of their dads were black, gave birth to fraternal twins. One was all black,
mm-hmm.
one was all white.
Yeah, so now what did the couple look like? Was one of them black and
no,
one of them
they
white? They were mixed.
Both of them had
right.
white moms and black dads.
Mm-hmm. I saw a picture of the kids. I couldn't believe it.
It's pretty crazy. Like, apparently, like, 1,000,000 to 1, the chances. Better chances of that than winning the lottery, by the way.
Well, I owe an apology to Michael Jackson, because I've always said, does anyone find it suspicious that he has that kid that looks like one of the Culkin brothers? I mean, he
yeah,
has a kid that's
not,
just lily white and has blonde
black.
Hair.
Isn't
yeah,
he
is all
black?
Black. Yes, well, that's true. That's
he
true.
Can't,
you're
I
right.
Mean,
you're
he,
right. You're right. Knows anyone? Look, everyone knows the Michael Jackson now, who's God knows what, and he's become just a sort of man of the world. But go see a picture of Michael Jackson circa 1976. I mean, see the nose, see the color of the skin. He wasn't, you know, sort of medium-toned black. He was dark black with a huge afro and all the characteristics that go along with that look. There's no possible way with his seed he could give birth to a straight, blonde-haired, lily-white, pinkish kid. Impossible. No one ever says it. It's like, hey, here's Michael with his two kids again. His two kids? Is it possible that he could do that? I would say it's mathematically impossible.
Basically, yes.
Thank you.
And speaking of black, for the last year, Damon Wayans has been trying to trademark the word ninja, except... replace the N and the J with two G's.
Oh, I see. Wow.
He wants to use it for a clothing line and retail store, and it's been denied twice on the grounds of it being immoral or scandalous.
Yeah, I wanted it for a vanity plate, and the same thing happened to me.
Really?
Yeah, DMV turned me right down. I explained it was a cultural thing, but they wouldn't go along with it. Yeah, you can't do it. Evidently, you can't take the swear words, and you can't just go ahead and trademark them. Wet gig. Mazel tov, as his people would say, for trying.
Except you can use them on the Cartoon Network, apparently.
Really?
Well, haven't you seen that show, The Boondocks?
No, I've seen the N-word.
Oh, really?
I've seen all the billboards and stuff. You mean for the Adult Swim?
Man, if you want to hear some people using the word ninja on television, you watch that show.
Ninja, please.
It's unbelievable.
All right.
And on American Idol last night, we saw four contestants get the boot. Here's Ryan Seacrest giving the bad news to the first one.
Brenna? You may also have a seat, which means, Becky, you leave us tonight on American Idol.
Becky was the hot one.
Yeah.
Sing the song that just got you kicked off the show.
Yeah, the one Simon thought was a horrible choice.
And, Ryan Seacrest, what's with the way that he's trying to come up with new creative ways all the time.
I don't like
it. Messing with our head. Listen to this one.
Heather and Stevie, if you would stand up, join me at the center of the stage. Second thought, Heather, have a seat. Stevie, you are leaving us tonight on America.
Oh, Ryan Seacrest, you fooled us again.
Yeah. 19-year-old chicks love that.
And this one, this is the other one.
Bucky. It's not you leaving us tonight, Patrick. Your journey ends here. Sorry. But no doubt, as you said, a great one.
Oh, the suspense. It's just maddening.
Yeah, they ought to do that with everything. They ought to have Seacrest, you know, when it's time to cut players off the NFL squad. They ought to have him do it. They ought to do it when they're doing court-appointed people. That ought to just do it. The president ought to. Everyone ought to do everything that way. Stand up. All right, sit down. You're not in. You. And then you point to the guy in the farthest row. You're out. Everything ought to just be done that way.
But before you go, Mr. President, give us that terrible speech one last time.
Yeah, whenever we get fired, we'll do that thing where they call us, Jack Silver will call us into his office and he'll go, Dave, the reason I'm going to have to not let you go is because Adam's fired.
And I'll be like, Rolla, tell us about turning against the left turn arrow.
Do that bit we're firing you from.
The other contestant that got kicked off last night was Bobby. I'm Rachel Perry, and that is the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Winter Games in Torino. Only a few days left to get in, so watch now while you still can. Germany, the Nazis with 24 medals. They lead the race. Russia and the U.S. of A, 20 each. California, Julia Mancuso, just today, won gold in the ladies' giant slalom. But yesterday, not as good. Shizuka Arakawa beat out our Sasha Cohen, a.k.a. Ali G, and Ivana Slutskaya of Russia. For the figure skating gold, Slutskaya, say goodbye. Slut, 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 slut. It didn't work out. NBA, here come the L.A. Kobes. Three straight after they destroyed the Kings of Schwarzenegger last night. Portland Trailblazers young guard Sebastian Telfair suspended two games after he was caught with a gun on the team playing the other day.
Wow.
Had the gun. Says he didn't realize he had it on the plane until he was already on the plane. Then he hid it in a pillowcase.
Yeah.
Best of all, to me,
worst argument in the world that I didn't know I was packing makes you way more dangerous than the guy who thought I better remember
exactly,
to bring my
yes.
gun.
But best of all, the classic excuse, kids, don't try and reinvent the wheel. Best excuse of all, wasn't mine.
That's right.
It was his girlfriend's.
Better.
That's what he says.
Better yet.
Yes.
I was carrying her piece on a road game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pac-10 ball last night, 17th-ranked UCLA, 19th-ranked Washington, Oregon, and Cal, all winners. Great story.
Hold on, let me just jump in. If there are any athletes listening who play in the NBA, do not let the old lady have a gun. I know where this one's going to end. You're going to get popped for cheating, and then she's going to pop a cap in your ninja ass. Yes?
I say yay.
Please.
All right, now, great story out of the Pac-10 right now. Stanford, they're the Cardinal, you know, not the Cardinals. The Cardinal,
the color.
Okay, they changed their name from Indians some years ago, and because it was inappropriate, you know, to the Native Americans. Right. So they became the Cardinal, and then they invented a new mascot. No longer did they have an Indian. It was their now it was a tree, you know. They have the redwoods up there. So they it's a big tree that dances around on the football field and on the basketball court.
It's like Tulane who has the wave or something.
It's weird.
It's like, come on, you got to give your team a decent name so you can have a half-decent mascot. A name after a color or a religious person. You can't do it. You got to think these things out.
Yeah. Well, so this tree, you know, whatever, it's silly, dancing around, this and that. But the girl who was in the costume, you know, the student who was in there, was caught. She was having a few belts during games. They tested her. They gave her a breathalyzer. She was 2 times the legal limit. She was sauced up, dancing around. She was a drunken tree.
Wow.
So she got canned from this. But then again, we're looking for a mascot for this show, so maybe we can work something out.
All right. Also,
I want to say this. Gonzaga, another bizarre story. Gonzaga has Adam Morrison, one of, if not the best players in the country.
Right.
He got a bloody nose last weekend playing Pepperdine. They put some gauze up in his nose. Then they pull out the bloody gauze. Now they're selling it on eBay.
Ew.
Wow.
And people are lining up. Here's the thing.
Nose pond.
If you're a man, a grown man, if you're a grown man who's buying this bloody gauze of another man, you really need to take a long look in the mirror. Then again, I'll say this, Corolla. How about this? I'm going to sock you right in the honker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hit you right in the button.
Mm-hmm.
Get some gauze ready.
Right.
We'll make a mint, you and me. We'll put it on eBay.
Yeah. I think, I'll tell you this poor... How about the poor person that's married to the guy who's going to buy this thing? That's how I always feel sorry for. You know, the guy's on his computer. He's bidding on this piece of bloody gauze, and his wife is standing behind him going, Harold, what the F are you doing? Ninja, please. He's yelling. And he's going, and he's arguing back with her. Hey, if this kid turns out to be an NBA All-Star, we're going to triple our money. That's his thing. Plus, we can take it and make it into a tee for our first male born to give him the vertical leap that my family's been lacking all these years.
Well, this is outrageous, I think, and that's that. I can't take
it. Dave Dameshek's number one sports.
All right, Roy from Roy, yeah, Siegfried and Roy. We have him calling in. Apparently, he's on the mend. I've learned from the interviews done.
Rising like the Phoenix.
Pat O'Brien. And he's going to be calling in.
Someone who would bid on this gauze. If you're a grown man who would do this, call in as well. I'd like to hear your story.
And look,
what's it at?
It's not, I don't know what it's at yet, but it's not like, you know, Elvis's pubes. This is just gauze with blood in it, people.
This guy is an ugly version of Larry Bird.
Oh, he's not that bad. I've seen him. He's not that bad. Just because his name's
You can't
bad.
Judge men, though, Ace.
I don't judge dudes. That's right. You're right. Good point. Except for I know I'm hot. We'll take a quick break. We got Roy from Siegfried and Roy calling in. Ozzy's out in the hall. Much more show after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
866-901-ADAM. Interesting situation happened during the break, which is evidently Erin is the name of the girl who was the drunken tree mascot over at Stanford. She's a SoCal native, apparently called in during the break. Heard you talking about her.
Shaq. Awesome.
Yeah, so Bruska is on the phone with her now, and he's going to try to get her in here. So
that would be awesome. We need a mascot. We've been talking about it.
She heard you talking about it, so we'll see. She's evidently, if she's not in the neighborhood, she's not far away. So Bruss can try to wrangle her in. We'll see if we can get her in here for the next break. Roy Horn is on the phone. He's calling from Vegas. First, a little bit of an update. Nikki?
Yes?
I was talking about Michael Jackson being blacker than coal and his kids being albino white, and you're saying you're white, your hubby's black, and that means,
yes.
A, you're fat, and B, you're saying you have kids that are, one's blonde and one is black?
No, one's not. I am not fat.
Well, heavy set.
No. Anyways, yeah, I'm
Big
Italian.
Big bone.
Yeah,
no. You're Italian, yes.
I'm Italian, but, you know, I have a little bit of color to me. But my husband, he's all black. He's not mixed. And one of our kids, we have three girls. One came out with, like, really light, almost blonde hair. And she's pale. She's so white.
Mm-hmm.
And the middle one, she's a little bit, like, looks Mexican almost. Looks like a little Mexican baby. But we don't know where that came from because there's no Mexican in any of our families.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the other one, she is blonde, and she's got freckles and everything, and I don't know how that works, but...
Really?
They're not the Milkman's kids. They're his, they're ours, they're just like them, but
so,
right.
So you have, and one of them is black, or looks black.
Yeah, well, it's Mexican.
Right. How many kids? I thought you had three.
Yeah, there's three girls.
Three girls. One looks Mexican, one looks white, and what's the third one look like?
The third one, she's darker, and she has a little fro, but she's, her features and stuff, she looks like white, you know?
She looks suspiciously like Brittany the sales girl.
Interesting. All right, so you're saying it's possible to have, and even though you're a dark-skinned person, I mean, you're white, but you have this sort of swarthy Mediterranean look, right?
Yeah, right.
How is it possible, then? He's full black. How is it possible that you have a freckled, blonde-haired kid?
I don't know. And the funny thing is that his first family... Yeah, his parents are both very dark.
Mm-hmm.
And his two middle brothers,
mm-hmm.
they are like caramel. They're, you know, what they call, you know, vanilla. I mean, not vanilla.
Right.
Like, they're caramel.
I understand. Now we'll get to the social implications. How's your family and his family with the whole mixed thing? Are they cool?
His family's fine with it. My family is not. My family, you know, old school Italian Catholic, and mm-hmm. you know, they come around a little bit, but mm-hmm. not a whole lot.
Is your dad a racist?
No, my dad. My grandpa is my mother's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I grew up down there in Sherman Oaks, and I moved out here, and they think that's just, you know, it's the.
You grew up on the mean streets of Sherman Oaks, and now you're out in Fresno.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, screw you, Grandpa. Meet Lucius.
Exactly, thank you.
I really, my theory is, and this is why, no matter what's in your heart, you can't dump it on your kids. Your daughter, especially if you mistreat her a little bit, and I don't mean abuse, I just mean you're a little bit of an absent dad, or maybe you're over domineering, or maybe you're just wrapped up in work and you don't show her the time or the attention that she requires. Whatever it is you try to get her not to do, she will do it. So if you're sort of neglectful dad who's sort of racist, and basically the only time you talk to her daughter is to tell her, do not hook up with a black dude, she will hook up with a black dude. Or if it's don't get a tattoo, or please go to college, or whatever it is, and men do this too, but if you're an absentee parent, especially dad, and you're trying to get your daughter to go a certain direction, she will go the opposite just to spite you.
Well, and then her father, she got it both ways, because then her father said a couple years ago, I now like your black husband, and that's when she went and slept with Leif Garrett, and that's how she got
that's
the blonde daughter.
That's she got the
daughter.
White kid. That's right. All right, Roy Horn, who's from Germany, I believe, is on the phone calling from Las Vegas. Roy, had a very...
Thank you.
Oh, we called you. Sorry.
What time is it?
It's early in the morning, Roy. We appreciate you picking up the phone. I think he's breathing through a tube. Roy was attacked, of course, by Montecor's tiger. Although, and the reason we have him on the show is I've been watching reports where you're walking again. You're learning to speak again. You may be on stage again. This is remarkable.
Yeah, it's good. But first, back to that night.
Mm-hmm.
The locked eyes, his teeth bared, his breath putrid, 800 pounds of beautiful, horrible, white Siberian tiger terror.
Mm-hmm.
He was aroused.
Oh, you're saying sexually?
8 to 10 pounds of beautiful white Siberian tiger man meat.
Wow.
And then he pounced. Was he hungry? Maybe. Horny?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I did not.
Oh, yeah.
No, this is an angle I'd never. Roy, this is, if you don't mind me calling you Roy. It's a breathing tube. This is an angle I've never heard. I've heard that he was trying to protect you. I've heard that he was trying to drag you to safety. I never heard the part where it was actually rape.
After I was released from the hospital, I saw Montecore at the house, or in the great room, relaxing in front of the television. I approached him from behind. I rolled up to him in my chair, my catheter looped between my trembling fists. I seized his throat. He looked up at me, pleading, "Why are you doing this?" And I tightened the cordons and he said, "Maybe because you tried to eat me, you big-time snuggle-friend."
You strangled the life out of Montecore with your catheter hose? Oh, wow. Wow, you actually ingested his penis. Turnabout is fair play, I say. I did the same thing to the dog, the neighbor's dog that attacked me a few weeks back when I was jogging. It was a small dog, but nonetheless, the point was made. Wow.
Every fiber in my being screamed, Montecore.
Wow.
Montecore.
These are very powerful tales. See, the news, they skim right over this stuff. I didn't hear about any of this, and I followed it pretty closely. Roy, you're a hero. You're a hero to every gay magician who's been mauled by a tiger. And and I guess others as well, probably. Thank you.
I hope they'll show us around Vegas when we're out there.
We're coming out there on the 9th of March. Maybe you'll show us your great room.
If you are a man like you say you are, you will come to the house, walk into the great room. First you will be startled, but it is not a real tiger. It's Montecore.
I understand.
The frog before the fire is Montecore. But then you will unzip yourself. But you will give a shout. Then they will commence the tour of Las Vegas.
Yes. All right. They keep bleeping that out. That's different. Look, if I live in a castle, I could have a shower of gold. I'm that rich. Thank you. Yes. Yes, even King Midas has to go number one every once in a while. All right, Roy, you're an inspiration. What can I say?
Can't wait to hang out with him.
It's going to be great. And to give a much overdue comeuppance to Montecore.
That shower.
The shower of gold. All right, we'll take a break. I hear that crack producer Bruska is getting closer to getting our drunken tree mascot from Stanford in here. She's on her way. We need a mascot. Why not Aaron from Stanford? But first, my personal mascot, Ozzy, in with a movie review after this.
You're listening to the new Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
That's right, 866-901-ADAM. Oswaldo Castillo. Ozzy, as I know him. In studio. Good morning, Ozzy.
Good morning, Adam. How are you today?
Adam.
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 Not Al. How would you like if I just called you Al?
Ace.
Yeah.
Well played, sir.
Yes. Ozzy and I have known each other for 15 or 16 years. We started, I believe the first job we did is we built a gym in Pasadena together. Yes, Ozzy?
Yep.
Yes, and then we've our love affair blossomed, and we've been tight ever since.
By the way, can I say this? How does he say the news lady's name?
Well, Rochelle?
Rochelle. Not bad. But that, see, that's the whole thing. That is a sexy international flair to it where I just, if, to me, it just sounds like you swallowed some phlegm in the middle of saying my name where you go, well, Al.
Maybe if he was pretending that he was going to have sex with you, maybe that would
that's
say Adam's
what it is.
Name like you were in the throes of passion.
Oh my God.
I like he added the my God.
He's a man of passion. He certainly is. Bruska's running down the drunken tree mascot from Stanford. Hopefully she'll be in here in a few. We'll talk to her. We need a mascot on this show. Ozzy is doing his movie reviews and has done a wonderful job. What is this week's movie review, Ozzy?
Good night and good luck.
All right, we'll see you later.
Appropriate, because it's it's appropriate because Oscar time is nigh.
Yes, and you've seen, I think, every Oscar nominated film except for maybe one. I'm not sure what the probably haven't seen Crash yet, but we'll see if we can get you to see all the Oscar films that are nominated for Best Picture before the actual Oscars are upon us. I think we have a clip from Good Night, Good Luck. Can we hear that?
Another day, another man. This is the story of women who thought they earned their money the easy way. Only to find that they had to pay for their sins. See Sex Without Shame, raw naked violence, in the boldest and most intimate scenes ever shown on any screen. In Another Day, Another Man.
Wow, long. I guess we queued up the wrong part.
I thought it was about Edward R. Murrow.
I think that's going to win the Oscar.
Yeah. All right. I didn't hear Clooney at all in that, but you reviewed that movie, did you not, Ozzy?
Yep.
Shall we hear that review now? Let's hear your theme song first.
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
Good morning. The movie that I saw was Good Night and Good Luck.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie, David Strathairn as Edward R. Murrow.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Downey Jr. as Joe Wershba. And Patricia Clarkson as Joe wife, Shirley Wershba.
As your wife?
The wife, yeah.
Okay.
This movie is information for New America over the political confusion between supposed Democratic and Communist taking place during the early day the broadcast journalists in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
It chronicles the real life over the conflict between Edward R. Murrow with Senator Mr. Joseph McCarthy.
Mm-hmm. This chronicles the life of Edward R. Murrow and Senator Joseph McCarthy.
Yeah, the probably, you know, the political you.
Yeah, no, it's rough. It's like the Sandinistas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's rough over there.
Reagan contra, you know.
Yeah,
Iran.
It's rough. That's why Ozzy had to flee Nicaragua.
No, remember me, please.
All right, sorry, buddy.
Anyhow,
American activities.
Mm-hmm.
It's the real drama over the true information and disinformation
mm-hmm.
with political and broadcast news, TV, and radio in America and the world.
Let me just clarify something. TB is short for tuberculosis. TV is short for television.
Yep, television, yeah.
Okay. TV.
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 Yeah, see? You could do
see,
it.
The problem, my problem, you know, for the B and the B. You know?
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah.
I know. I know. I'm telling you, when my barber told me he was going to trade in his Sav for a Bobo, I knew we had problems with T's and V's and B's.
Yeah.
T's and B's.
I have a problem, you know, for order, you know, in some restaurant, you know, the Boba iced tea.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I have no idea what he said. But yes, my barber, who was, he wasn't from Nicaragua, but you can guess he's from somewhere like that. He said he wanted to trade his Bobo in for Sav. And I said, well, you can say the B and you can say the V, you just can't put them on the right car. And he couldn't do it. Bobo, Volvo, Bobo, Volvo. Okay, Saab, 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 Saab. You can say both of them. If you couldn't say one of them. You know what this is equivalent to, by the way? This is equivalent to those damn English. They will do, they will say, we say water, they say water. You know, they just put the A at the end. They don't do the ER. They'll do the water, but not the water. But they don't say spa, they say spar. They'll put the R at the end of stuff. And it's like, what? Here's your beloved A in spa. Now use it. Now they're gonna piss us off and this put an true. R on that one.
How dare they do that to our language?
How dare they hijack our language that way? No, my point is you can't say the A and you can't say the R. You just refuse to use them on the right words. It's just like you people, Ozzy, with the V and the.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, these people, you know, pronunciation, the very good English.
Yeah.
Know, England.
I understand.
The same, you
it's
know,
right
I
in the title.
You before, you know, Spain and Latin America.
Okay.
The same problem.
Okay.
My best part was the movie finale ended.
Mm-hmm.
I threw a sock.
You thought it sucked?
Yeah.
I thought you said you threw a sock.
Threw a sock, yeah.
You really got to run fast to throw a sock.
You threw a sock.
You said it sucked.
Sock, yeah.
Okay, how did it leave you as a reviewer?
Good day and good luck. It left the reviewer call.
I want that on my outgoing message. All right, Ozzy, more stellar work as usual. We need to take ourselves a break. I think we actually have the drunken mascot from Stanford, the tree mascot. She's in town.
Yep.
Ruska's got her. I just saw her walk in.
Yeah,
so we'll bring her in next break. See if we can use her as our mascot.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
866-901-ADAM. Erin is in studio. She is the drunken tree mascot from Stanford. Stanford has a color, basically. They're called the cardinal, not the bird, just the color cardinal. And she was the mascot, so for some inexplicably redwood tree mascot for Stanford, got caught boozing at a Cal-Stanford basketball game and has been defrocked. Asked to leave the mascot community. You live here in town. We're excited to have you on the show. We're looking for a mascot ourselves, by the way.
Thank you.
Are you seems like you've been drinking a little bit today.
I was drinking all last night and this morning a little bit.
Your blood alcohol level was 0.15 when you were stopped by the UC Berkeley police. I mean, I just feel like, you know, I like boozing on campus as much as the next guy, but if you're going to be a mascot, it seems like you have to stay sober.
You don't know what I went through as being the tree, then. Do you know how much pressure it is to try to hug kids when you're a tree?
Yeah.
Like, how do you even do that?
I know, they call the environmentalists tree huggers, but what about the trees hugging back? They never talk about that.
It's not easy. I mean, do you know how loose you have to be to take on a whole basketball team?
Wow.
You know, and then a badminton team, and everybody has games every night, and...
So, I mean, are you bitter? Do you feel like you should have stayed on as the mascot?
I feel like I didn't get a fair shake.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I might have a venereal disease.
Wow.
I feel like a rainbow. I don't care, buddy. I'm flying high right now.
Well, and why did you want to be a mascot in the first place?
Well, it's kind of a long story. I thought, well, it's so hard to get alcohol into the games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you totally check your purse, and then you totally check your body, and then you totally check your hair weave.
Uh-huh.
But they never, ever, ever check the tree.
Right.
And, like, seriously, like, I made my costume so that my base of my tree is, like, pretty wide. So I can fill, like, 4 or 5 bottles of gin. And then I see y'all.
Wow.
So, whatever, you know. And so, you know, that's it.
Is there a reason why you feel like you drink so much?
No. I think that I want to be an astronaut.
That's what I read about you.
Yeah, so I'm going to do that.
Well, I don't know if you can do that when you're drunk. I mean, I you know, if you can't be a mascot when you're drinking, I'm not sure if you can pilot the shuttle when you're loaded.
Well, I'm not sure if you can get in my pants, Adam.
Well, it's not all about
say,
that.
But this looks like the kind of woman that Big Tad might be, you know, Tad seems a little enamored with Aaron right now.
Is that Bubba Sparks? I will do anything.
Well, Big Tad
twice.
Big Tad is a. I don't want to. You know, I'm not making fun of you, but you've probably known if you looked in the mirror. You're. I wouldn't call you fat, but you're sturdy boned gal. And, you know, Big Tad is a sturdy-boned guy. You know, maybe you guys could hook up, find a love connection.
You name the bathroom.
Oh, wow.
I mean, really, I have an open schedule.
So you're out, you're back in Southern California now, and you having a beer? All right.
She smells like mushy cookies.
All right. Why is it? I mean,
how dare you?
First off, it's not even the weekend, and it's barely 8 a.m. Do you really feel like, well, why do you need to drink?
What time is it?
It's about 8 in the morning.
Oh, my God. This sucks. It's too early.
Well, I mean, we do a morning show. It's right in the title.
If I'm up, I'm drunk as a skunk. And I believe I'm up.
Okay. Well, sort of. We're looking for a mascot on the show, Aaron. Do you think maybe you could help us out?
I already have a chair.
You do.
My stump. Adam Carolla. I love that. Adam Carolla.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, I wanted to.
I need more words.
I wanted to replace Marco Polo, the kids' pool game, with Adam Carolla. Oh. You know, why not?
You're on the same page.
Yeah.
She seems like she'll fit the bill beautifully.
Yeah.
Got the tree outfit and everything.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we'll keep the tree outfit. I mean, I guess it applies just as much to this show as it does to being on the Stanford tree. I mean, it's just as out of place, but it seems like we need our own. You know, original mascot. I mean, we'll use the tree outfit for now until we come up with something better.
Maybe she could just dress up as a giant unibrow.
Oh. Now that's smart.
Are you saying that I'm uncount?
Well, that's true.
Rachel, sorry, can you please give me a maximum? I want to be a maximum and spread myself.
I'll make a couple calls.
Yeah.
You bitch. I don't believe you.
Is she going to... I'm scared.
Aaron, are you attracted at all to me or Damashek or producer Bruska?
She's going to hurt me,
Adam.
You
said that.
I know. Do you find any of us attractive? We know you're into Big Tad.
You know, it's all blur, but I'm willing to take on anything and everything. I'm looking for a rich Mexican husband.
That'd be an
easy one. Are you?
Well, I have some money in the bank. I'm not Mexican, though, but maybe Oswaldo can help you out in that department. Did you see him?
I certainly didn't.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess you didn't see. He's of Latin descent. He's out in the hallway. Yeah, he could probably help you out. He's a passionate man.
Let's do it.
So, first Big Tad and then Oswaldo.
You know, I mean, you want to lay him out, I'll knock him down, you know. I'm, alive until I'm dead, so. Merry Christmas, Mama.
All right, so the point is you know, we want a mascot, but I don't know if we need one that's inebriated all the time. I mean, I feel like even though we're morning show and we're all about a good time, it's still sort of a professional environment.
I could just be bitchy if you want.
Well, I just sort of prefer you just be our mascot, maybe not be bitchy or drunk.
Do cheers and stuff. Yeah.
Well, what's that pay? You know what I mean? I mean, if I go and I'm an astronaut, then I can look at rocks and walk around on the moon. And I don't care what that pays. Like, I could totally, like, run around the moon.
Yeah. What is that planet you're going to be on again?
The moon planet. The moon.
All right, Aaron.
Here's the only thing, though, with the, if you agree to be the mascot, you know, the show starts at 6 a.m., though. So can you be here at that, you know,
What?
6 a.m.
6 a.m.? I'm just getting started. That's when I get ready to go to the clubs.
Oh, really?
6 a.m. I do my pre-cap at 4, and then I watch VH1 at 5. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
And then I'm ready for the bars.
Okay. All right, Aaron, we appreciate you coming by. I really like to use you as the show's mascot.
A drunken tree.
A drunken tree is our show mascot.
Well, I accept the rib obligations for it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to fight all the way and go, Stanford, I hate you. Adam Carolla.
That is Aaron, the drunken Stanford tree mascot. Mm. We'll have you in now. That's it.
It's going to work out beautifully.
This is going to work out perfectly. Great idea, Shaq. I give you all the credit in the world. And Rachel, see if you can get Aaron in that Maxim spread soon.
I'm on that.
All right, we're going to take a break. We have a Christian extremist, Corey Butnell, who's on the phone. He's going to call up. He wants to do an exodus. He wants to take all the Christians out of I don't know where and put them in one of the Carolinas and just have a, and then secede from the Union and have an all-Christian nation. He is for real, so we'll talk to him after this. Also, Damashek going to do the big drawing, the big wedding drawing.
Ooh la la.
I'm so excited about that.
$1,000 out of my own hard-earned bank account, or possibly only $5 and whatever's in between. We'll figure that out. He'll draw it, all that, after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 1-866-901-ADAM. That's 1-866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show. You better call. This is MG. We got to go. Call the Adam Carolla Show now.
All right. Corey Burnell is on the phone. He's the Christian man who wants everyone to move to South Carolina, who's Christian, that is, and do a little mass exodus and then secede from the Aaron,
you got that on me.
More beer.
What?
Aaron, by the way, this is the drunken mascot from Stanford. The tree mascot who was thrown out of Stanford. Aaron, we're gonna need you to split. We got this guy on the phone we need to talk to.
Can I just wait here?
Well, we're really moving on with the show. We got this guy, we got to talk to Corey Burnell, then we have sports, we have weather, news, we have a lot of other things to get to. We're going to do the drawing for the check.
But it's okay if I just stare right here and do real quick, please. Just want to stare right here,
I'm just going to have to ask you to leave, and we'll have you back in. You're our new mascot now. It's no big deal. We have guests in, and then they leave, and then a new guest come in. Bruska, help Aaron out, please.
How could you do this to me? I came in here with all my intentions of making you happy and doing a good job, and then you said that I could stay, and then I can't stay, but I should stay when I come back, and then you're going to call her, and I hate you.
What? Listen, Aaron, it's not like you can't come back. We're moving ahead with the show.
Well, I am not coming back. How's that?
No,
turkey lover.
We want you back as our mascot.
I'm out of here.
All right, just
you know, if I come back, it's only to find where my things that I left are.
Okay. Bruska, help Aaron, please.
You know how to reach me.
Okay. Aaron,
I hate this.
Make sure Aaron doesn't drive her cell phone, by the way.
Adam Carolla!
Okay,
we got spirit, yes you do. I do, Adam. Why don't you?
All right, there. She's back. I like that.
There she goes.
Violent swings.
The drunken tree.
She stinks.
Women, you know, women get drunk and they swing violently. You know, guys, they get a little surly and then they get lovey, but it's not in the same minute. Yeah. Wow. All right, let's move forward. Bruska can wrangle drunken mascot Aaron out of the room. Let's speak to Corey now. Corey Burnell, that is, calling from Sacramento. Corey?
Yeah, I'm here, Adam.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
You want to plan a mass exodus of Christians to South Carolina.
Well, yeah, we're already doing it. And, you know, we call it Christian exodus because it has that connotation of movement, and that's what we're looking to do. We're just moving Christians to South Carolina.
Why South Carolina?
Well, you know, this is a political project that we're implementing, and we wanted to impact a state that's already overwhelmingly conservative and made up mostly of Christian-believing folks. So Mm-hmm. We looked to the Bible Belt and small states there, and South Carolina seemed to fit a number of criteria we had. So that's why we chose it.
And why move?
Well, you got to look from the conservative perspective. We really haven't seen any reform in the nation over the last 30 years on some of the social issues that the Christian conservative, I guess you might call, end of the political spectrum, mm-hmm. has been trying to achieve. So we thought, well, we need to concentrate efforts in a particular state,
mm-hmm.
and in doing that, we could impact it at the state level and hopefully at the federal
so
level.
So just Christians, no Jews?
No, in fact, it's Christian Exodus, but it is a political project, and we do have people of varying religious faith in it who are really on the same side of these political issues.
Right. All right, because I was going to say, who's going to do the accounting? A bunch of Christians in there. You guys are going to get red flagged by the IRS every year. You need a handful of Jews. See, that's the whole thing. I think, just like we were talking about earlier, the Dirty Dozen. You need the explosives expert. You need the knife thrower. You need the second story man. That's what we need. See, I think diversity is the way to go.
It's what my people bring to the table.
I think what you're talking about is a good idea in the way of diversity of skills. But
right.
Ideological diversity leads to essentially strife and unhappiness, and that's what we see even on the left.
Well, here's the thing.
Even on the left.
I it's kind of weird because I'm an atheist and I'm very progressive and very liberal in certain subjects, and then could almost borderline Stalinist or Nazi in other things. I don't, like, for instance, I'm an atheist, but when I hear about the other atheist or whoever, agnostics or whoever they may be, wanting to get rid of the Ten Commandments and the monument in the front of the courthouse. It's like,
right.
Oh, for the love of Christ, you idiots have anything better to do. And then, by the way, you give all of us a horrible name. We don't care. We don't give a rat's ass about this stuff. And you guys are protesting or out here. There's a crest on the Los Angeles crest, has the little cross on it.
I'm familiar with it, yeah.
Yes, it's smaller than the size of a dime. And by the way, it's just history. This part of the world, this part of the country, it was settled. There were missions that were here in, 200 years ago. It's part of our history, like all the things on the Los Angeles crest are. And these wussy ACLU pussies want to spend a bunch of our money to get rid of the coffee mugs with the crest on it. And I don't want to move to North Carolina or South Carolina with you and the Christians, but there's got to be another Carolina for me to go to with the same people.
Well, you know, it's a terrible PR move to do that sort of thing from the atheist perspective. And you're right. I mean, it's the City of Angels. What are you going to have to do? Change the city's name?
Oh, I know. So pathetic.
Where the madness stops, I really don't know. But we've got some solutions at Christian Exodus for those who are on, mm-hmm. on our side of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the important thing to recognize here, Adam, is it really just affects the people who are in South Carolina really already believe with us on these issues. We're not out to change how folks in other states would like their states to exist.
Yeah, but how about when something bad happens in the U.S. and you need protection then? Are you guys going to defend yourself, or will it then be, we were kidding about the seceding thing. Help us out, soldiers.
Yeah, because you want to secede eventually, right?
Well, we leave that on the table as a last resort. Our mission is to reestablish constitutionally limited government founded upon Christian principles.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, a lot of conservatives would say, yeah, we agree with that mission, but they'll stop short of it if they can't have it. And so we've decided, wait a second, you don't give up the mission because government's being tyrannical. You give up and change in government. That's right there in the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
So, the secession issue does come up, but it's really a tool in the toolbox. It's not an end goal. Now, as far as protecting ourselves or defending ourselves, first off, I mean, if you were talking an invasion of the North American continent, it doesn't matter if it's Mexico or Canada or who that is. The United States is going to be very much involved. But, of course, a small country like South Carolina really doesn't have much reason to antagonize the rest of the world. Look at Switzerland or Canada or any of these other benign countries that really mind their own business and economically trade and get involved with the world.
Well, it's funny. It sounds like a kooky idea. On the other hand, I'm sort of, it's like, to me, it's like Boys Town out here. It's like West L.A.
Well, I'm not in favor of this.
Give the gays their strip of land. Their little Gaza strip over there. Yeah, well, they have one out here, too, and it seems to work just fine.
Right.
It's just, there it is. It's manicured. It's beautiful. Everything's in order. There's no graffiti. There's no gum on the ground. You see, you have to endure a couple of strange billboards every once in a while when you see the gay cruise billboard, and it's a little weird. Hey, that fella's hugging that other guy. Oh, yeah. Okay, I know where I am.
Let me ask this, though. Here's the kookiest part of this overall kooky plan. Why South Carolina? How about an island? You'll attract more people. Tropical locale. Nice sunny weather.
That's true.
Well, look, our project really emanates from American history and what we see on the right as what America was originally founded to be and look like and as it existed at one time. And so there's an element to it of a return to the promise of America. I mean, really what it started out to be and what we have seen it degenerate into. So we are patriotic Americans, really don't want to live somewhere else.
What, and do you keep the name or do you change it to like Virgin Maryland or
right.
Christian
no,
Valia or something?
Keep the name.
No they Blacksburg.
That'd be ironic if it ended with Berg. Hey, but let me ask you this, Corey Burnell, by the way. And you can go to ChristianExodus.com if you want more information on this. The world is, you turn on the news and it's all about religion and all about fighting. Do you know what I'm saying? And oftentimes the religious folks say, well, what would it be like if everyone was an atheist? What would prevent this guy from coveting his neighbor's oxen? Or having an affair with his neighbor's wife, or even killing his neighbor without the rule of God. But you see what goes on out there with the rule of God, or whatever you're calling your God. Seems like everyone's killing each other constantly. Wouldn't it be nice just to have a bunch of atheists who just sat around and got high and watched TiVo? You think it'd be a better culture?
Well, I tell you, that's the first time I've had that question posed to me, so that's original, original line of thought. But you know, I'll tell you what, when people look to religion and its impact in the world and the fact that sometimes good doesn't come out of it, the problem there might not be in the religious message or religious belief, but its implementation or application by sinful men.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Everyone always says, like, oh, yeah, you want to walk down a dark alley and have, who would you rather have, a Christian on one end or an atheist? Well, first I'd like to have a Jew. Because I could probably kick his ass, number one. But number two, who's on death row? Bunch of atheists? Every guy on death row is a God-fearing man, yet somehow they managed to get on death row. How did that work?
Well, I think when you get to the bottom of Christianity, you have a difference between a belief, a simple belief in God or a higher being, and you actually have what we call being born again, which is a yielding of your life to Jesus Christ.
Are you born again, Corey?
Yes, sir.
Did you have one of these things, though, where you bottomed out? You put a shiv in someone?
No, sir.
You got strung out on elephant tranquilizer?
No.
You laid down with a man?
No, sir.
Something?
Some folks do, and that's unfortunate that they've had that bottom. But
you just got born again. You're like a guy who got sober who only drinks a beer a week.
Right.
You never bottomed out.
Right.
Let me ask you this, though. What kind of people are you going to attract to this thing? It seems like the people who are such zealots that they would move and secede from the U.S. of A. are the sort of people who find Jesus on their Pop-Tarts. Yes?
Well, you know, there's some of every element in our project. You've got some that I guess you might consider on the fringe, and you also have the vast majority of us who are very mainstream, just evangelicals. So, I mean, out of 1,200 members, you certainly will find people of all stripes, and that's I guess that's part of the fun of it.
Well, we wish you luck, Corey.
I appreciate it.
Go to ChristianExodus.com if you want more information. I know it sounds like I should be harder on him, but I really don't care that much.
I'm curious to know, though. Is this a move to get away from the blacks and Jews?
Oh, please. How dare you? Of course the answer is yes, but how dare you? I'm an atheist, and that sort of argument of, well, how do you have any kind of moral compass is insulted and retarded at the same time. And I should say insulting and retarded. Of course you don't hurt other people. Of course you treat people the way you'd like to be treated. Of course you help people that need help. This is what you do. It's no duh. I can't stand this argument.
I've met more Christians that are just like mean, nasty, judgmental, angry. Oh,
forget about Christians. Look, any religion. At least the Muslims are just upfront about it. They're like, look, you're worshiping a false idol. We're going to have to kill you. They're smart about it. That's the way we think, but we just don't say anything. Of course, here's the definition of religion. You have your belief. I have my belief. She has her belief. We all think we're right. Therefore, two of you are wrong, and you're going to hell. It's not like, oh, okay, you just worship who you worship, and you worship who you worship. No, you worshiping who you worship is an attack on me, and you're putting a question mark into my feeble mind, into my fairy tale scenario of what's going to happen after death, and so I need to blow you up. Of course, that's the way it works. Of course you have to do battle. How could you not? We both have wildly different scenarios as to who we worship and what happens and the rules to our religion. Of course I got to blow up your mosque. Of course you have to bomb my church. Of course. You're nothing. You're animals. That's how it works.
I hear you. It's lunacy.
Of course. Ah, I would love just a day of atheists. Just one day of atheists. It really would be nice. People just getting high. Little free love. Walking around with your pants around your ankles and a bong.
What difference does it make, really? Like, if we all agree or if we don't agree, I'm sorry, do you need to go to break?
Mm-mm.
What, you know what I mean? Like, why does it matter? Why do we all have to agree?
I'll tell you why.
Still going to be, like, annoying to each other.
I'll tell you why. Because religious people scream they believe what they believe, but they don't really believe it. There's a small part of them that knows I may just die and go into the ground. And if you try to attack or awaken that small part, they get violent. It's like anybody who's defensive. It's like a guy who thinks he's a little insecure about his physicality, so he fights all the time. It's a compensation. If you point out to somebody, whether it's them having a big nose or whether it's them not being able to protect their manhood or whatever it is, if you point out something to somebody that they've been thinking about, maybe I'm not so good in this department, they'll get violent. They'll get violently angry. This is what all religion is. Of course, they've been indoctrinated into it. Of course, they've had it spoon-fed to them since birth. Otherwise,
shame the devil that they'd ever concede that their parents tricked them and all the adults when they were growing up tricked them into believing this fairy tale nonsense.
Here's the thing. When you're young, your brain is a sponge, you're malleable, and you can do whatever you want. You can learn any language you want. You can learn any religion you want. You can do anything. And that's what happens. You grow up in France, you speak French. That's how it works. So you'll absorb anything. So this is what's fed to them. It never works on adults if you've not been raised in that crazy environment. Because
unless you're in the joint and about to be put to death.
Right.
And then, of course, you have
to find Jesus Christ. But before that, if it's not fed to you, it just sounds like someone trying to pitch the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus. It just seems ridiculous to those of us who weren't born around it. So people hear it, and there's always a kernel inside that small brain of theirs. There's just a little kernel that thinks, meh, maybe I don't believe it. I don't think I believe it. What if you just die and you just go into the ground? What if, what if, what if? And so they overcompensate by screaming about it. And then, God forbid, you should have an alternative viewpoint. They get violent about it and they go at it. Now, the more, the greater the zealot, the more violent they get. And that's what you got in the Middle East. But there's a part of them that doesn't believe it. And that's why they have to attack you. Because if they really just believed it, they'd just be laughing.
Yeah.
If
exactly.
I really knew what I knew, if we were playing Texas Hold'em or we were playing 21 and I had a king and I had an ace and I knew it and Dave started talking about, I'm going to clean you out. I'm going to take all your money on this hand. I'd just be sitting there going, okay, keep betting. I'll see you in hell through the porthole, through the Lexan porthole where I'm nice and cool where I am, of course. But I will see you in hell. I'd just be smiling. I know where I'm heading. I'm heading right to the bank. I got 21 right here, buddy. Keep gambling. Keep betting. I got a royal flush right here. Keep betting. But no, they attack. Why? Because they don't believe. They don't believe their hand. They question their hand. And now, it's just like that game of cards. Is he bluffing? I don't know.
That's a good analogy. Sure. I like that one.
Yeah, it is a good analogy.
I got a pair of deuces, but I'm not so sure about them. That's how it works. Probably good enough to get me into the afterlife, this pair of deuces, but hard to tell. I'm going to attack him. All right, play it safe. I'll kill him. That'll be nice. All right, that's how religion works, everybody. We'll take a quick break. Who's up next? What do we got going? The big wedding draw.
Ooh.
Here's how this is working. Wait, pipe that music down
a
little.
La, la.
I didn't get Dave a wedding gift, and I decided to give him some money, and then I decided, it might be fun if we made a game out of it. I brought my checkbook. We have five cards made out. One is for $5,000. One is for $5. One is for $1,000. One is for $500. And one is for $250. You will draw. You will put your hand in a green sack that Angie found, and you will draw it out. Whatever's on that, I will cut you a check for. Could be $5,000.
I'd rather draw it straight out of your hat that sits atop your head right now.
Well, you know what? I want to keep it on the up and up. I don't want these things to fold open, the ink to bleed through. You reach in blindly and grab your card, whatever it says.
However you please.
I will pen the check.
Marvelous.
All right. We'll do that after this.
This is Steph Markine. Give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Hey, that kid may work out doing the weather on this show.
I thought he was very good.
He was strong.
Good.
Yeah. Well, Dave Coulier's package is going to be coming in here in the next break, giving us a little Olympic skating update. We discovered his package watching Skating with Celebrities a few weeks ago. Coulier, we're lukewarm on, but his package.
Couldn't miss it. If you watched it, you couldn't miss it.
Tight velvet slacks, yeah. Going into that double camel.
What a personality.
Talented. Yeah. All right, well, now we're up to the day of reckoning because Damashek got married on Sunday. Sorry, ladies. And I didn't get him a gift. I was going to cut him a check. And then I thought, well, why not? Why not have some fun with it and get a little good radio in at the same time? I brought my checkbook, as you can see here. I'll go ahead and sign my name. I'll go ahead and fill the checkbook out. I'll go ahead and fill the check out, I should say. And I will not write in the amount yet because we have a sack here, a green canvas sack.
It's like the sack on Price is White. It's like the sack of on Price is Right where you reach in and draw out those big chips with the X on them or the numbers, you know? This is what it looks like.
They're inside that sack. I had no part in stuffing that sack. We had producer Angie. She took some blue cards and she wrote $5,000, $1,000, $500.
This is no jive either, right? This
from is five to one?
5,000.
You didn't go 25?
1,000. I thought about it, but then I realized 2,500 is a little much for someone's wedding, too. Yeah.
So, right, for hell. And for a consolation prize. Listen, a grand's a lot for a consolation prize.
Yeah. I mean, for
as
Christ's
long
sake.
As this is on the up and up. There's a 5,000, 1,000, 500.
Do we need to have the judges check the bag?
Play it safe. I know Kimmel said put them all for $5, but I say nay.
I don't play that way.
Yes, I'm an atheist. I have my dignity. I have to govern myself. We'll check the sack after he pulls it out just to confirm that all of them are marked in there.
Not necessary. No. I'm the sort of man, you can count it if you'd like. No, not necessary.
Well, especially when you pull the $5,000 one out. I don't think you're going to need to check to make sure the $5 one was in there. But $5,000, $1,000, $500, $250, and then $5.
Now, my lovely bride.
What's the
sick in bed? She's lifting her ear from the pillow.
What's
putting it to the radio to hear how this works out?
What's the date today? I'm gonna fill that
the
in.
24th.
24.
24.
224. A day that will go down for me.
Now, do you go by David or is it Dave?
I think the bank will recognize it either way, sir.
Dave, and then D A M.
Damashek, you nervous?
How do you spell your
I'm
last
excited.
Name?
I'm wondering.
Known you 6 years.
It's only just hit me that, like, are you not gonna feel bad if he pulls out the five and you're like, well, there you go.
Well, I'll tell you why, because I had this argument with my wife last night where we were watching Survivor, I think, and she was like, I'm getting Cindy a gift. I know she sounds a lot like the mascot we had in here from Stanford. I'm getting Cindy a gift. What if she pulls the five out? No way are we getting. I said, you could pull the $5,000 one out. I'm getting a gift anyway. I said, you don't understand how it works. We could be out $5,000, sweetie. We got twins coming. One of them sleeping on the floor. If Damashek pulls that $5,000 check out of there. So, no, I will not feel bad. That's the game. And I don't think Dave would have it any other way.
No.
You can't do that.
No, well, $5 is $5, yeah. And that's the way it worked out.
Yeah, there's a chance of winning $5,000. Seriously, how do you spell your last name?
I'll tell you off the air.
Come on.
D-A-M-E. That's
there
right.
There you go. All right.
Did
what does
get
that
bleeped?
Get bleeped for? I spelled my last name. I haven't been treated like this since the third grade.
I didn't want anyone to know how to spell it, just in case they wanted to look you up in the book.
Oh, who cares?
So, oh, well done.
Just for your privacy.
Well done, sir.
I can figure out how to spell it.
Damashek, I was ridiculed as a third grader for having a bad word in my last
Which
name.
One?
Damn.
Oh.
Damn, and I used to argue, no, it's like spelled like the one that stops water, not the bad word.
All right.
Dame.
All right.
It's more like it.
All right, now I got the sack here. Somebody want to hold this? Rachel, why don't you come
want me
over
to hold
here?
Your sack?
Yes, do a little spokesmodel work
from
over
third
here.
Grade to this moment. All drawing right. From the sack
five of
Adam
them are
Carolla.
In there.
Perhaps $5,000 awaits.
Hold the sack. Bring it over to Shaq. Shaq, you reach in, hand the one you pull out to the beautiful Rachel Perry, and Rachel,
I
you
must
read
warn
the results.
You before I do this, too, Adam. Mm. Keep in mind that in the month of February, '06, I've been married to a lovely bride.
Mm-hmm.
The Pittsburgh Steelers won the Super Bowl.
11-for-11 in your picks
Correct.
Against
my
the spread.
My postseason picks against the spread.
And the
11
beloved
and
Steelers have won the Super Bowl.
Finish this month off.
I got to say, I'm nervous.
I'm excited.
Got to check out right
here.
Here
we go. All right, I've taken my card.
All right.
My card is selected.
Hand it to Rachel. Let Rachel read it.
All right.
Onto the air. I won't look. Come on, five. Come on, five. Come on, five.
I almost feel like giving him a chance. Like the second chance. Do you want to pick this one or do you want to go again?
I'm going to stick with this one.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Damashek, Sheck, is the lovely recipient of $500.
Oh, okay. All right. I feel like I dodged a little bullet there.
Listen, 500 simoleons.
Yeah. You should give him a giant check, though.
It's good. Yeah, get the foam core out.
That's a good idea, yeah. Listen, hey, I'll take 500 one. Simoleons.
No, listen, that's better than the toaster oven you're registered for over at the Orbox. Don't get me wrong. $500.
Well, so that's, in other words, this is the second worst result I could have had.
That's not bad.
No, you could have gotten $250.
Oh, $250.
Or $5. So actually, you hit right in the middle. And I was actually thinking, if you pulled the 1,000, I would have let you have the choice of throwing it back in and going again.
Really?
But the 500, I don't know.
What do you think?
I feel like I dodged a bullet with the 500.
500 is pretty sweet
it.
In my book.
Yeah. All right, $500, not bad. And listen, sweetie, if you're listening, don't buy the goddamn gift. My wife buying a gift for your wife now. Cindy deserves some. She got a chance at $5,000. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with news. We'll be back with sports. We'll be back with Coulier's package.
Very Shaq, generous gift, Ace.
Mazel tov. May you guys go on forever.
Louis C.K. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. 866-901-ADAM. Dave Damashek, very disappointed that he only got $500.
Untrue! I'm very happy with it.
All right. Enjoy.
I used to make $500 when I first got out here. That's what I made a week.
Oh, really?
That's right.
And we're paying him more than that now to do a couple of crappy newscasts? Brusco, we got to talk after the show. Seriously, me, you, and Jack Silver. And close the door. Close the door is either really good or really bad. Either means you're getting fired or getting a BJ. Or possibly both if you have a very inconsistent boss. Wow, talk about a mixed message. When I'm done, you're fired. All right, Big Tad.
Hey,
in
what's
studio.
Going on?
What's happening, my brother? Dave Coulier's package is going to be in here in a few to do a little Olympic skating update for us. Big Tad, we decided there was more to you than just making fun of your immenseness.
Yes, and I'm thankful for that.
You didn't lose the weight or all of the weight, so you're going to be in the Girl Scout uniform selling cookies on Monday. We'll look forward to that. But we thought, why not give you a shot at doing a little gossip report? You know, we want to work some gossip news into the show. Rachel's doing the news. She's doing the entertainment news. We need a gossip columnist on this show. Why not Big Tad? Do you have something for us?
Actually, yeah, I do. So I don't know if we have music for this or anything. Or...
Yeah. All right. There you go.
Well, first things first, Lindsay Lohan has two new men in her life. Matchpoint star Jonathan Rhys-Meyers and gold medal winner Shaun White, the Flying Tomato.
Wow. Thank God. I hate it when they do that and it turns out to be dogs. She's the newly single Jessica Simpson's got two new men in her life. Little schnauzers? Come on, Pat O'Brien, stop yanking me around.
Lindsay and Jonathan were seen getting all cozy up in a VIP room at a hot Hollywood nightclub, and then she turns around and gets all up in Sean's grill.
Wow.
Lindsay, back off. He set his sight on silver medalist Sasha Cohen. You remember right. when he came in and said something about that?
Right, you're telling Lindsay to back off.
Yeah, back off.
Okay.
Yeah. I know she's listening right now, so back off.
Yeah, Shaun White came in here a few days back and is into Sasha. But now that she didn't win gold, who knows?
I don't know. Hey, silver's good too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Simpson, she's still in the news. She just can't stick with one man. Mm. Lately, she's been linked to Adam Levine of Maroon 5, Johnny Knoxville, and Bam Margera. Now add Dane Cook to the list.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from what I'm reading. She's shooting a new movie in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and she's been smitten for Dane Cook. She has a crush on him.
Wow, the stand-up. You know, here's the thing. Here's the thing about women. They're all over the place. You have to catch them at the right time. It's like the zoo. Every time
you mean when they don't have their period?
Yeah, well, that's another good point. Write that down, Breska. Okay. When I go to the zoo, every goddamn time I go to the zoo, I head right for the gators. Where are the gators? I want to see them devouring a chicken carcass. Now, what happens? They're floating in their pond like a log. What's happened to those gators? I start throwing things at them. They're not moving. They're not responding. Hey, zookeeper, those gators are dead. No, they're in their dormant stage. They don't move for a couple of months, and then they're moving around. You got to catch them when they're moving. Now, Jessica Simpson, she's a virgin. She hooks up with her man. She stays with her man. Then she breaks up with her man and goes sexually insane for a couple of years.
With the jackass guys.
Right. That's when you have to catch them. Catch them when they're going nuts. Later on, she'll find Jesus Christ. She'll go into her dormant stage. Don't enter her life at that stage. Catch her. Strike while the iron is hot, I say. Mm-hmm. Make hay while the sun shines. A new broom sweeps... Okay. Keep going, Ted. You're doing a great job.
And my last news, there's a new feud starting in Hollywood. Paris Hilton is not taking Misha Barton's comments that she's a silly bitch who seems to hate everyone around her age who is more successful lying down.
Mm.
That's hot.
Paris tells People magazine, I don't even know the girl. I could care less. It seems like she is the one who is trying to stir up a rivalry. I have never said a word about her in my life, but she seems to be spending a lot of time thinking about me. The alleged rivalry is reportedly stems from the OC star dating the ex-boyfriend of Hilton's pal Kimberly Stewart.
Mm.
Paris reps say Barton is using Paris's name just to get some ink.
Yeah, well, you say Misha she doesn't Barton, take it. You say she doesn't. She's not taking it lying down. We already know she doesn't take it lying down. If you saw that sex video, she likes to be on all fours.
Good point.
And Misha Barton needs to use Paris Hilton to get publicity. She doesn't. Yeah.
Here's the thing about being a chick, though, skinny hot chick. Why not just call everyone a bitch and get into it? What are the repercussions? You know what I mean? If I start talking smack about 50 Cent or Joe Rogan or Suge Knight or something, eventually I'll run into them at some club and they'll be drunk and they'll be pounding my head against the pavement. You know what I mean? Like, as a guy, say what you want, but be careful. You could get shot. I mean, if you start getting into it with some of these guys, I mean, if you start Wesley Snipes is a puss. I can't take
Chaz
that guy
Norris.
Chaz
overrated.
Norris, overrated. Next thing you know, he's gone into the praying mantis, and you're tasting boot leather, my friend. Taste it. He yells as he gives you another crescent kick to the cabeza. As a chick, just go ahead and yell what you want. All it does is get guys horny. At least this broadcaster.
I'm Big Tad, and that's Hollywood's Gossip.
Nice job, Tad. Nice work, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. Now it is time for True Pro. Rachel Perry in the news.
Wait.
Pro.
Oh, you mean it at broadcasting.
That's right. Oh.
Thank you. There's unrest in the Middle East.
Mm. What?
You almost spit out your water. I didn't mean to shock you.
The normally docile Middle East?
Yeah.
Oh, it's live and let live over there. What happened?
I know. Bummer, dude. There's a curfew in Baghdad now.
Wow.
For the weekend. Wow. Totally screws my plans.
I got to tell you, I said this a couple of weekends ago. I said this whole thing's going to blow over by the weekend. I say the Middle East will be back to its normal, loving, open society by the end of this weekend, by Sunday night, 6 o'clock, sundown, Sunday night. Oh, they'll be welcoming the Jews with open arms. The Shiites and the Sunnis will be hugging and dancing in the street, and they'll love America again.
I'll bet you my $500 that that's not true. Oh.
Crude oil futures rose $2 a barrel after suicide bombers attempted to drive cars with bombs onto an oil processing facility that handles 3/4 of the oil in Saudi Arabia. The guards shot the car and blew it up.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, an old lady in Raleigh, North Carolina, did you see this on the news? Drove 14 miles in the fast lane of a highway the wrong way.
Yeah.
The wrong way.
I didn't hear about that, well, but it does happen.
Yeah, this is Margaret Riley talking about what happened.
I got on the wrong side and I kept going on. I don't know how I did that. I have no idea. And I said, well, I am so sorry. I said, I've got a doctor's appointment, and I'm running late, and I'm sorry. I know I'm 80 years old, but I know I'm not crazy yet.
She just doesn't know how it happened, though.
And by the way, this week's recipient of the coveted Definitely Not a Jew Award. North Carolina, driving the wrong way on the road, chewing tobacco while you're doing the interview. I know when someone's not a Jew. All right. Yeah. It's amazing. The one good thing about living in L.A., you could not make it 10 feet going the wrong direction on the freeway without hitting somebody. You can't get up to speed. 14 miles.
14 miles.
Wow.
I don't know the exact whereabouts of Coulier's package right now, mm-hmm. but a man walked into a convenience store in McKeesport, which I believe
PA.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh. Mm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And asked to use the microwave to warm up something that was wrapped in a paper towel. Mm. It smelled weird, so the clerk went to look at the item in question, and the guy ran out of the store, and the clerk called the cops because the item in the microwave, human penis.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Human penis.
Well, I gotta say, you know, some of those microwaves at the convenience store, they have the picture of the burrito, they have the picture of the potato. You know, I'm saying if you're going to put the picture of the human penis on there, you're just asking for trouble. It's unclear whether that's how they had their microwave set up or not. Human penis.
What was he going to do with it?
I don't know. You know, I can't judge. Different cultures. Wow.
I mean, it's, what's he going to do with it? Of course. If you eat it uncooked, it's disgusting.
It's true. It's true.
In entertainment, Bam Margera is getting married to his girlfriend, Missy Rothstein. They've been together less than a year, but they've known each other since the sixth grade.
Wow.
Weird. Sally Jesse Raphael's 71 years old.
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem outlandishly old?
I don't know, because she's like a cartoon character, you know?
Yeah.
How old is Charlie? How old is that funny character who gets drunk and beats on his wife all the time from England? Andy Capp. Nothing funny. Comes home loaded, beats the ass out of his old lady. It's funny. It's a good one. Sometimes she smacks him with a rolling pin or something when she's going out to get loaded again.
So American Idol booted off their first four out of the final 24 last night. Becky, the hot chick that we just found out posed for Maxim. Stevie was the crazy opera singer chick. Patrick, the guy that looks like Tom Green. And then the...
I say Ed Norton. He looks
skinny.
Like Tom Green, too, but he's got a little Ed Norton in him, too.
Yeah.
Maybe Tom Green from the eyes down and Ed Norton from the brow up.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll yeah, Ed Norton, if they didn't leave him in the kiln long enough, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like an uncooked Ed Norton, younger Ed Norton, yeah.
and then the last guy, Bobby, who looks sort of like the sportscaster from CNN Headline News a little bit, but like he's like the cheesy, doughy guy.
Yeah. I think he may be gay. I'm going out on a limb.
Really?
He sung a little Copacabana. Hmm.
Yes, certainly. I agree with that. The thing I like,
look, yeah.
What is the story, though, with that? Now this Randy Jackson is getting now a higher profile than he already had, that with his, he has his dog pound this year, who validate his every word by hooing.
Well,
Arsenio style.
He called everyone dog. Last year he would always call, or previous years he would call everyone dog. Now somebody must have gotten to his ear, and now he's modified that to dude. But now he does this, and this is my favorite guy. The guy who calls the chick dude. It's the guy who's like,
yeah.
Catherine, dude, you're just not cutting it.
Am I right, dude? Dog pound? It's so ridiculous. I asked, but it's so ridiculous. If he already stole from Arsenio, I thought it would be a good idea for me to do the same. I asked Bruska to get me a dog pound. All he could get me was a fish tank. But so what? I've got my following, too. How say you, fish tank?
You actually, yeah.
I actually brought the tank in here.
It's awesome.
Yes, wow.
Interesting.
It's not as good, but it's still pretty cool.
Get some guest fish.
We were talking earlier, and we're going to work this out. We were talking earlier about how sad it was that the folks that got thrown off American Idol had to finish with the song that they got thrown off for or with. And half the critique was, you picked a horrible song. I mean, when poor Bobby Bennett got tossed off, it's like, Copacabana. What the hell were you thinking with that song? That was a horrible song. By the way, you have to leave. Oh, but first, sing Copacabana again. And this will be as uncomfortable as life gets. Don't worry.
In case four people in America didn't see you embarrass yourself the first time, go ahead and do it one last time. How say you, fish tank?
Now, I was saying, if I would always have an alternate song planned.
Yes.
If you told me to sing Copacabana, I would change the words just a little bit. Now, the band has to play Copacabana, so you can't do that. But I would just start, his name was Simon, he was an a-hole. And I'd just go out the whole song until Ryan Seacrest tackled me on stage. I mean, it's live. You'd be the toast of the town, would you not?
I love it.
Hey, you know the song well. It was the song you did. You know it was heavily critiqued, and you may get tossed off the following day. Why not just scratch out some alternative lyrics to it and dig right into it? Yeah?
I love it. Mm-hmm. Listen. Mm-hmm. Give Corolla some love, fish tank.
He wasn't gay, but I heard he swung the other way. Randy Jackson's fat. You just keep going. Everyone would be dumbfounded. They wouldn't know what to do. They'd probably just let you go. Paul is high on prescription drugs, and your whole show sucks at the coma. Oh. And then you would be courted by Madison Avenue. All the alternative.com companies would want you to be on every late night talk show. It'd be the greatest. Somebody do this, please. You get to sing the song, now do it. It's live.
How has this show been on the air for 5 years and no one has done this yet?
Because people don't listen to me.
They're chicken.
Yes.
Ryan says the most, like, it's just so weird when he kicks people off. Like, he tries to keep the suspense going. It's like this. You need to hear this.
Gentlemen, step to the side, right to the edge of the stage. Thank you. Take a seat. Next two. Well, come on up. Take a seat. Stand up. Take a seat. Join me at the center of the stage. Take a seat. Have a seat. Please have a seat. Front row, would you please stand up? Take a seat. Guys, would you please both sit down as well? Back row, would you please join me center of the stage on either side of me in two single file lines flanking me?
Like, it's got to get real complicated now.
The producer suck, and she's a slut. He points right at Paul Abdul. Just keep going. Eventually, you start working in the N-word and stuff. You just go insane. Oh.
Well, That's it. I'm Rachel Perry. That's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Dave.
Winter Games in Torino. The U.S. of A. now with 21 total medals. Only three behind Germany. We may catch the Nazis yet. Californian Julia Mancuso won gold today in the ladies' giant slalom. Last night, not as good. Sasha Cohen, the American, she fell a couple of times. She only got the silver. NBA, here come the L.A. Kobes. Three straight after they demolished the Kings of Schwarzenegger last night. Portland Trailblazers young guard Sebastian Telfair suspended two games after he was caught with a gun on the team plane the other day. He says, first of all, he didn't realize he had the gun until he was on the plane. Then he hid it in a pillowcase. Didn't take it to anybody, to an authority and say, oh, you know what, maybe you want to do something with this. No, he stuck it into a pillowcase. And best of all, he went with the classic excuse, it wasn't mine. It's my girlfriend's.
Girlfriend's, right.
It wasn't mine. Keep this in mind, kids. If you're planning on going into professional sports, just deny everything. This is a great tack to take. Don't reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
No matter what. It wasn't me.
Yeah, or say just Jesus told you to do
yes.
it. Either one will work. And the other thing is they don't check the professional athletes on the chartered flights?
Yeah, apparently no.
Ooh, because I got a great idea for a movie now.
Do tell.
The terrorists raise one of their own as a great NBA player. They start him as a point guard, and he just shoots threes. That's all he does is shoot threes. But he's working for the Taliban. Then they infiltrate him into the American high school system where he just drains threes. Obviously not the height you're going to want an NBA player, but the guy's deadly from outside of the stripe.
Literally.
Gets recruited. Eventually makes it onto the Washington team. They used to be the Bullets. What the hell are they now?
Wizards.
The Wizards. Gets recruited by the Wizards. He's going to take over the chartered plane and fly it into the White House. They're not suspecting. You see, there's no, they don't check him. They're not going to say, oh, do those high tops have a shoe bomb in them? Are those explosives or gun? He can take over. But there's one coach. The coach that was ostracized. The coach that was thrown off the team. He's on the flight, too. Ex-CIA man.
No, maybe better yet, our pal Rick Fox.
Rick Fox.
He's an actor as well as an NBA
Rick
star.
Fox.
That's what he does. He kills the guy at the end, but not with any bullets, not with any knives, just with his good looks.
No, great defense. Because it gets to the point. Rick Fox just narrowly missed getting Defensive Player of the year before. Now, this guy's coming down the aisle. He jukes left. He jukes right. He throws a head fake. Rick stays with him. He dives for the cockpit. Rick snuffs him.
I love it. I'd see it.
Yeah.
I'd pay $8. Listen, I have $500. I'd pay $8 to go see that picture.
That's a good one.
That's the bottom line. It's just, listen, kids, deny everything. You know, eventually people will believe it. Tony Phillips of the Oakland A's once was sitting in a motel room, crack pipe in one hand, lit lighter in the other. As the police barged into the room, his excuse, this isn't mine. And that's true. That's true. If he can get away with it, so can you. Take a lesson. See, you can be role models, professional athletes. Now, college basketball quickly. Pac-10 last night, 17th-ranked UCLA, 19th-ranked Washington, both winners. But the most interesting story in college ball right now, Adam Morrison, the star of Gonzaga. The other day, he got a bloody nose in a game, so they shoved a piece of gauze up his nose. Now the bloody piece of gauze is on sale on eBay. Or should I say, it was on sale on eBay. I just bought it for $500. How say you, fish tank? All right, and one last thing. The Olympics are just about through. I wanted to check in with our gambling expert over there, our correspondent, Janet Jones, Mrs. Gretzky, you know, of course, embroiled in the controversy about this whole gambling ring scandal. You know, her old man disavows any knowledge of it, but Janet has been good enough to check in with us several times from Torino, and I think we should call her one last time, see how things are wrapping up there after her husband's hockey team, Canada, lost without any medal. Let's give her a call right here.
Hello?
Mrs. Gretzky.
Ciao, Billy.
It's Dave. You must be kind of bummed out with the Canadian hockey team losing, huh?
Oh, contraire, Billy. I made a mint betting against those losers. Did you forget my spineless husband was in charge of that team? Hold on. Here he comes right now.
Janet, I'm so bummed out. What am I going to do?
You can act like a man. Is this how you turned out? A Hollywood Finuccio that cries like a woman? Oh, Janet, what am I going to do?
Well, sounds like you got your hands full right now. How about you just come pay us a visit here in the studio when you get back to the States next week?
No, I think I'm going to stick around here for a while. I've got a bunch of irons in the fire. Matter of fact, I'm walking to a meeting right now. Ciao, Billy.
Mrs. Gretzky, I don't think you hung the phone up.
Don Chicho, you've monopolized the olive oil business for too long. Antonio Andolini was my father, and this is for you.
Oh, no.
Oh, is that a racquetball?
Hello?
Uh-oh. Wow.
That's that. How say you, fish tank?
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
His name was Randy. He was a fat hack who never sung a day in his life and is cheating on his wife. That would be perfect. Please listen to me. Work it out. We'll make millions together. All right. Dave Coulier's package is waiting in the wings. Oh, look at him. Velvety smooth. He's going to come in here, give us a little Olympic skating update, because no one knows skating like Coulier's package. We'll do that after this.
Hi, this is Jeff Conaway. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM. And if you're lucky, you'll get a hickey from the hickey.
Dave Coulier's package in studio. We met Dave Coulier's package, well, in person, when he came in with Dave Coulier after watching Skating with Celebrities. We noticed the package so predominant, so predominantly displayed in the velvet pants.
Impossible to ignore.
Yeah, impossible to ignore. So we liked Coulier. I thought he was a decent enough guy, mm-hmm. but I really was smitten by Coulier's package. So we brought him in to do a little Olympic skating update for us. Dave Coulier's package?
Good morning. It's nice to be a member of your team.
It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Where's Dave?
Oh, he doesn't get up.
Oh, okay. So he's...
I'm always up. You know what I'm saying about that? I'm up and my life is nuts. Well, I should say it's next to nuts sometimes.
Woo! Mi vida saca. Yeah. I saw you skating with Nancy Kerrigan. I thought you did a great job. I wasn't nuts about Coulier. I don't think he did a fantastic job. I think he did a decent job, but I think you were really the standout.
You did all the heavy lifting.
Well, I'm out front, you know what I'm saying? I'm not afraid to, you know, stick my head out a little bit and go for it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You put your neck on the line.
That's
I like
right.
that.
Absolutely.
If you had one.
That's right.
Coulier is, so Dave Coulier, and of course when Coulier was asked to leave, I heard it got a little bit ugly when Coulier's package didn't want to leave the tournament after Dave was voted off, but eventually they got you out of there. Had you been drinking? Was there a problem with your publicist?
No, I was fine. I was okay with the whole thing, you know, because I'll tell you, them outfits are tight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all strapped in there, you know, and right. I couldn't do what I needed to do during the events.
Right, you want to get at Nancy Kerrigan.
I wanted to spin around and, you know, do them loops and stuff.
Right.
I couldn't. I was restrained the whole time.
Felt constrained by the codpiece that was smothering you.
Yeah.
Damn that Coulier.
Well, you like, Dave Coulier is from Canada, or at least close to Canada. I think he's
Detroit.
He's
from Detroit,
but
across the river.
He loves skating. He loves hockey. He loves anything on ice. I guess you share that love, so we asked you to come in and do a little Olympic update with us.
Well, Adam, you see, I didn't get to see any of the Olympic Games, but I heard everything.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, let me just say, I don't like dick buttons. In fact, I don't like zippers on pants either. Now, two of my favorite moves.
And yeah,
one,
one,
two, three. That's yeah. right. Sometimes you got to wait for the laugh. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
That's a good one.
That's right. Now, two of my favorite moves in figure skating are the toe loop and the camel spin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, since figure skaters wear lots of form-fitting tights, why not combine the two moves into one and call it the camel toe?
Yeah, I've always argued for that.
I know, I do too. And who is this Slutskaya? Oh, yeah, baby. With a name like that, I'd love to give her a triple sow cow.
I bet you, yeah, you can't see her, but the imagination must run wild inside a Coolier sweatpants.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, it gets hot in there. And it seems like there's been more fighting on the ice in speed skating than on the hockey rink. Mm-hmm. I say if the speed skaters want to act tough, give them a hockey stick and make it full contact out there on the ice.
Hear, hear.
I hear you. Make them wear a cup. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it? And how about in the snowboarding event on the half pipe? Why don't they make it real interesting and have Tonya Harding stand down at one end? The real trick would be to try and snowboard past her. We'll call it the lead pipe.
You know, first off, I got to say this.
Thanks for the drum roll. I love those.
You know what I like about Coolier's package is he shows up loaded for bear. Coolier comes in here. He's got his publicist on one side. He has his security team on the other, and he plops down like he's the king
of Prussia. Disaffected Hollywood star. Yeah, typical thing.
Please don't ask me any question about the Olsen twins. That's what it says.
Sometimes he's way too laid back. I'm always up and ready for action.
Yeah, Coolier's package comes in here. It's got some beats, has some ideas, comes prepared. I know.
I wrote stuff down.
That's nice, yeah.
And it's tough to do. You know, I only got one finger bouncing up and down on that keyboard. It's tough.
I'd like to see that one
after
day.
A while, yeah, it turns into a frown, if you know what I'm saying. So anyhow, they talking about all this doping in the Olympics and, you know, people doing drugs and stuff. Well, I say if they want to catch people doing dope in the Olympics, I suggest maybe they check out some of the names of these events first. Like, how about speed skating?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Uh-huh. Speedy mm-hmm. Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
Mm-hmm.
And tell me them snowboarders ain't smoking some ganja. Them kids all with the roster things going on. You know something going on there. That wasn't fog coming down the mountain, let me tell you.
Oh, it's weed. They're up there blowing spleef.
That's right. They all eyes bloodshot, and you know they're going straight to the Twinkie Ranch after that.
Yeah, how far is half pipe from crack pipe, if you really think about it?
That's what I'm saying right
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
You hit that on the nose.
You and Coulier's package on the same page.
Well, we're simpatico. We see eye to eye.
I see.
That's right. It's like staring at a statue of Sacagawea. Giving her praise.
All right, we need to take a break, Dave Coulier's package. Uh-oh, looks like Coulier has entered the building.
Here we go, here we go.
He does not look happy. Brusket, see if you're going to hold him off. I don't want him coming in here. Let's take a break. Maybe we'll get Coulier himself in here. Evidently, he does get up before noon. Probably not happy about you dissing him on the radio.
I'm going to be here, don't worry.
Coulier's package here, and the real Dave Coulier's now entered the building. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is Jeff Probst, and you are listening to the greatest radio and television personality of all time. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow, thank you, Jeff. All right, little bit of time to go. We invited Dave Coulier's package onto the show. Not Dave Coulier, but his package. We fell in love with it watching Skating with Celebrities up there, so predominantly displayed with Nancy Kerrigan. And evidently, Coulier was up early. Coulier's package says he doesn't get up until afternoon, but evidently Coulier in the flesh heard us talking about it and has stormed in here. He's obviously not happy about this. Dave, I'll just address you as Dave and package, I think, in order. I want to first off apologize. We weren't trying to undermine you in any way. It's just we liked the package. We thought you were pretty funny when you're on the show, but just pretty funny. We just sort of mm-hmm. were smitten by the package, and we invited him back. We know he's a big ice skating fan, to do a little Olympic update. I hope this no feelings were hurt.
Well, no feelings are hurt, but this isn't the first time he's done this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, he's gotten me into trouble before.
I see.
Yeah. And I'm not pleased. You snooze, you lose. Okay.
Wow.
I was up early. I mean, I was way up early.
Yeah,
you kind of stumbled into the bathroom, and you know, I'm not going into that part. But I was up early. I showed up for the drill.
Yeah. The point is, point is you came in, Dave, you got up, you heard him talking, some things were said about you that weren't flattering, and mm-hmm. I guess you're in here to defend yourself. I didn't know this was an ongoing thing. I had no idea that you guys had this history.
Well, yeah, it's I don't know. It's just one of those things I don't like to talk about that much, but since we're talking about it now, yeah, he's gotten me into trouble many times.
Maybe that's what Alanis was writing about.
She was nice. Let me. I want to chip in on that. That whole thing in the theater. Oh, baby. You know, you do that popcorn cup trick once, and it works every time.
Well, I tell you, cause
hot butter, baby.
We asked.
I ought to know. That's right.
We asked Dave Coulier about that, and he was sort of evasive about it. He didn't really give us a straight answer.
She's a great girl. Let me just say that. Great girl. Oh, I'll say.
I gave her a jagged little pill. Let me tell you, Buster. You were asleep, but I was there. Are you nuts? No, I'm next to nuts. That's right.
This is really, it's the Hatfields and the McCoys.
It's uncomfortable. I hope he doesn't choke them.
It is uncomfortable. It wouldn't be the first time I've choked him either.
I'll tell you, I had this problem with my package in high school, and we just agreed to get on the same page.
Is your package here? Because I maybe we should go out, because I get a lot of chicks.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You're married, though, right?
Yeah, I am.
I mean, you could come along and, you know, give me some tips. I'm just joking about that. You know?
Yeah.
I got all the respect in the world for the missus, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand. But you're a single man yourself, Dave.
Oh, yeah, just me and my buddies.
That's right. Lefty and righty.
Lefty and righty, don't put me in a tighty-whitey.
All right, well, look, I feel like maybe you guys should hammer this out off the air.
I don't have to go to the bathroom.
I'm just saying, work out your differences in the hallway. I don't feel like this is the forum.
Come together, Maybe in 4 years from now, you two come together and do like a two-man bobsled thing or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And Dave, again, Dave Coulier, the actor, the comedian, the skater, we'd like to have you back on the show as well. It's just I just seem like me and your package are sort of on the same page, you know, comedically.
I understand.
Comedically. It's a different sensibility.
Ever since the skating show, it's kind of come out. Mm-hmm. We're going to be on the skating show on Monday night, by the way.
Oh, are you?
We're back on, yeah.
Oh, I'll be watching.
Because you lost. Lost it. I didn't. See, I'm here. I'm on a show. You lost it. Everybody saw me. What happened to you? You got booted.
I'm going to ask Dave Coulier to drink a cup of water while his package sings Mary Had a Little Lamb on the show. All right. We need to take a extended weekend break. I want to thank Dave Coulier for coming in here.
Thank you.
I want to thank Dave Coulier's package.
Thank you. I can't wait to come back.
Republican Richard Martin for calling in. Roy Horn on the men calling in from Vegas. Aaron, the drunken tree mascot. I think we'll be hearing from her again. She'll be our new mascot. Corey Burnell, ChristianExodus.com is where you go if you want to leave the devil behind. Dave Coulier again in his package. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dave Coulier's package saying mahalo.